Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Energizing the nation's capital with 50,000 watts of music power. 50,000 watts of power. WAVA, Washington.
Come on and wake up. Come on and wake up now. It's time to shake a leg and get up. It's time for you to raise your head up. Come on and wake up. Come on and wake up now. You know it's time. Come on and, come on and, come on and, come on and, come on and wake up now.
I'm Mike Lewis from Channel 9. And the Morning Zoo with Don and Mike is next.
Hold on, I got a joke for you. Go ahead. Okay, the answer is a fibula, a tan, and Jimmy Hoffa.
Oh, what's the question?
Name a shin bone, a skin tone, and a guy deep in the end zone. Thank you.
Live from the Victory Room inside Petroplex Center in Phoenix, beautiful Arlington, Vietnam, it's the Morning Zoo Show! Starring Don Geronimo! And hi there, I'm Mike O'Mara, inviting you to join Glory Nev, Kim Boomer Anderson, Frank and Diana Gibbs, and the entire zoo crew. Today, it's Monday, and we'll have all the details on the big Redskins victory with quarterback Mark Rippon and paddle forward George Michael. Plus, details on our fabulous weekend of fun. A Central American country goes wild for the Chicago Cubs.
Magic number now only three.
But enough of that. It's on with the tomfoolery and hijinks. And let's please welcome the man who personally fought off Hugo over the weekend with his bare hands. Ladies and gentlemen, Dan Geronimo!
Thank you. I love this song. That Saturday Night Live show. I know you thought that Bass-O-Matic thing with Dan Aykroyd where he put the fish into the blender. I know you thought that was original. But ladies and gentlemen, here he is, inventor of the Bass-O-Matic, Mr. Mike O'Mara.
Yeah, I sold the idea to Danny Aykroyd. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
It's 6:07. And good morning, my friends. Here are the top 10 things I did while waiting to see if Hugo would hit us on Friday afternoon.
All right.
Because you remember, up until like, noon on Friday, we still thought it was going to hit us.
Yeah, we were all bracing for it,
Don. We were still panicking. Well, here's the top 10 things I did to get ready. Number 10, I scotch-guarded my cat. Number 9, bread, milk, toilet paper.
Yeah.
Number 8, I boarded up the windows in my car. Number 7, I got a bullhorn and prematurely evacuated my neighborhood. Number 6, I convinced the WAVA engineering staff that this was the day to replace those burned-out tower lights.
There you go.
Sure, go ahead, climb up on that tower, guys. Number 5 thing I did while waiting for Hugo on Friday, I took my camera to Mike's trailer park to get some before pictures. Thank you. The number 4 thing I did while waiting for Hugo, I tried to convince Kim the end was near and that we should make wild love right now.
Yeah!
Oh, yeah. Number 3 thing I did while waiting for Hugo, I took a shower with my clothes on and then went to Dulles to convince arriving passengers to go back immediately. Thank you. Number 2, waiting for Hugo, I booked an appointment at the same place J.C. Hayward gets her hair done just to see if disaster strikes in the same place twice. And... Thank you. And the number 1 thing I did while waiting... waiting to see if Hugo would hit us on Friday.
Number one,
I took all the labels off my canned goods in my pantry, and I wrote on the cans with magic marker to avoid any confusion.
Before you were using your daddy's pants.
Quarter past six, Donaldo and Miguel here on WAVA. I got to wake up this morning. I was trying to say there. Give your youngster a rap this morning.
What, you a little sleepy this morning?
Yeah, a little bit. I didn't mean like a rap, but give your youngster a rap. I mean, it's cold out there. Give him a sweater, a coat, a scarf,
An overcoat, something like that.
Clouds moving in today with a chance for rain towards evening. Highs today only in the 60s. It's 52 outdoors right now. We're almost getting to the time of the year when we can say again that it's colder than a witch's bazoom and a steel brassiere, but not quite yet.
Not quite yet. It was, now we're supposed to get rain tonight, so I'm not sure what's going to go on.
And there were not any dogs frozen to fire hydrants. It is not that cold yet. Tonight's low is only going to be 60 with rain, and then a high tomorrow about 70. 52 outdoors right now, WAVA land. I hope you all had a good weekend. I sure did, but I know it was not as good as your weekend, because finally you got the antisocial thing off your back.
Yeah, you know, and really, credit to Frank, who called on Saturday and got directions to come down to my residence, and he enjoyed the afternoon with Frank, but two members of the WAVA staff. You know, I sometimes wonder, why am I antisocial? It's because, well, you try to be nice, you try to invite people, and Gary and Dennis, two people that work here at the station, who not only didn't show, but didn't even call to say, hey, we're not going to show up.
Now, let's be honest, they were like ringers, though, right?
Yeah, they were last-minute entries into the Mike O'Mara social sweepstakes. Yes, absolutely.
Just to make sure that it wasn't too awkward with Frank.
Yeah, and so I called Gary finally. I got very frustrated. I guess it was about noontime, and I finally just picked up the phone, and I called Gary, and he went,
oh, I'm sorry. Hey, you want to come over for spaghetti dinner?
This was on Sunday when you called him?
No, this was on Saturday. So, in any event, Frank called, as he said he would, and got directions to come down to the pad. And we got down, I guess, about, I'm not sure what the times are. I wouldn't remember the detail on the times, but
I think about
4:15. Got down about 4:15. We had a very nice dinner.
How late did Frank stay till?
Well, we watched the tribute to Bob Hope's tribute to Lucille Ball,
Now I watched it too.
Now, what does Kirk Cameron have to do with that? That's what I want. That was the main question that we all had. What did Kirk Cameron?
Well, he was on a couple of Bob specials, as you heard him say.
Yeah, of course, and got a chance to meet Lucy. Right, it was a really touching moment. And George Burns.
I'd like to be Alan Thicke, incidentally. Kirk Cameron now gets top billing on that the mayonnaise family is that they run on the name of that show. It's the mayonnaise family.
And George Burns on that tribute to Lucy, who came out, and we realized when he was speaking, George didn't say one thing about Lucy. He talked about himself and Gracie, and that was it, and then walked off the stage.
I have only two questions for you, because I must tell you that Frank called me last night and gave me all the important facts about his trip out to your house.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the two things that I'd like to know first are why you actually asked Frank to play Trivial Pursuit with you.
Well,
I'd like looking down a loaded gun in a second. Why do you have a refrigerator in your bathroom?
Why do I have a refrigerator in my bathroom?
Uh-huh.
I have a
That's the first thing out of his mouth.
The refrigerator in the bathroom, we didn't have any other place to put it. We figured we'd put it up in the bathroom. Put it in the bathroom, that is. Sorry, I almost slipped there. Put it in the bathroom.
So what, like, you can get a snack?
No, it's filled with beer. Because you never know when you're... No, it's actually... We keep seltzer water and things like that in there, because we both like a little seltzer water when
we're... While you're going to the bathroom?
No, we keep it up there. We keep it up in the bedroom.
How did he remember that?
I gave him a brief tour.
You have a refrigerator in your bathroom.
I gave him a brief tour of the house, and he noticed, Frank!
He also mentioned to me that, and this I guess is a tribute to your wife's good taste, that he thought the place did not reflect your feelings very much, that the place more reflected Billy's taste.
I said it was beautifully decorated.
Beautifully
this is nice to have this conversation. I'll have you out again real soon.
And I said the coolest thing was the refrigerator near the bathroom, and I hope someday to have one.
That's not exactly how he put it.
Yeah, but it was pretty. It's pretty cool. It's a cool idea.
I
said that to you on Saturday.
No, you know, we didn't. We had this space up in the down in the bathroom, and we actually had it. It's from college days, and it's this.
It's
one of those little square things.
It's a perfect fit,
and it's up there.
and you know, when you're don't feel like running out into the kitchen, you know,
it's really cool.
Yeah, it's
I guess you're right. I guess most families do have refrigerators in their bathrooms.
No, they don't. No, it's something unique. It's something unique, and it's something I'm very proud of. I'm really glad that I have a refrigerator in the bathroom and the house. As far as the
Now this Frank did say that the house was furnished very nice.
Oh,
that
thank you.
It was
thank you, Frank. I'm glad you approved.
That's wonderful. I think my quote was, it really looks like Billy did a beautiful job decorating the bus there. It's just lovely.
Yeah.
Really well done.
Yeah, the dining area was my color choice, Frank. I want you to know that. That was my color choice. Also, the foyer, you know, the little area when you walk into the bus, that was all done by me.
And, very nice.
Yeah, it's nice. We're very happy. We're very happy out there.
So it sounds like you guys had a great time together on Saturday.
Yeah,
you feeling good about putting this little relationship together?
You know, actually, there was only one point, and you said you're surprised that I actually brought up the subject of
Trivial Pursuit.
You're right, because that probably was the only time during the day where I became a little testy and a little excited with Frank. I figured he'd be good at the game. I did not figure that he could be a national champion at Trivial Pursuit.
Frank, did you try to say, hey,
no, I'll tell you what he did. Let me tell you what he did, okay? What he tried to do was try every answer that he knew, 100%, he would end like a question. So he'd say, is the country Panama? And I look at him and say, Frank, you know the answer. You know you're going to get another piece of the pie. You know it. And Frank, probably, was it maybe, I guess, a half an hour, maybe 20 minutes, you just cleaned us all out and won the game of Trivial Pursuit, just tearing through these questions.
Well, it took about half an hour. Yeah.
It was absolutely unbelievable. And unfortunately, we were playing with my wife, Billy, and Frank's wife, Jerry. They also did better than I did. I got a string of very unfortunate questions, and then one very simple question that I had an enormous... Do you remember, by any chance,
Oh, you mean the question about Jack and the Beanstalk?
Yeah, what was the question?
If I was in the arts and literature category, the question was, in Jack and the Beanstalk, what did Jack exchange with the butcher for the magic beans?
Yeah.
So this is why I hate Trivial Pursuit.
Well,
this point, I'd say forget it.
Yeah, I felt the same way. I figured this is a fairy tale question. This is a simple children's fairy tale question that I should know the answer to. I was being laughed at by the entire table when I couldn't figure out that it was a cow that he exchanged. And finally, Frank gave me a verbal hint doing the pulling of the udders.
Oh, like he was milking a cow?
Milking a cow, and I said, is it a cow? And I got a piece of the pie.
Yeah, that was the brown wedge.
That was the only piece of the pie that I got.
No.
I finished the game with two pieces.
The green
of the
one, too.
Yeah, it's amazing how you remember this. The green one? Yeah. Do you remember what the question was?
How many pieces did Mike's wife end up with? How many wedges did she end up with?
She had, I think, four out of the six.
She was second to Frank.
And Jerry, how many did Jerry have?
Three, I think.
And yours truly with two. And of course, Frank just cleaning off the
order of the categories you got him in, Frank, do you remember? What color came when?
I went right around the board, started with whatever was closest to me. I think I was sitting near the orange. I just started there and worked, you know, clockwise around the board.
Mm-hmm.
This was the easiest way to do it.
Frank,
it doesn't really matter where you start. You just go, you know, just pick a direction, stick with it.
Frank's daughter, Megan, at one point we had a very amusing...
And how many did she have? I realize she's only 3 years old, but she is Frank's daughter.
Well, if you've seen the movie Parenthood, at one point I called Frank Rick Moranis. When he was teaching little Megan square roots, I was saying, please, don't do that. But we played a nice little game with Frank's daughter. Actually, she has a nice little game she likes to play with me. When I go... like that, and she hits me as hard as she can in the face. Frank was amused at that. I was laughing, and
she was slapping you pretty hard for a while.
She was calling back, and once you know how little kids are. Once they realize it's okay, they go ahead and they really wind up. And it was I was amused by that. And we had a nice dinner, nice little dinner, steak and chicken on the grill, and baked potatoes, green beans. It was very nice. Very nice afternoon and evening.
And we watched Roller Derby on TV.
Oh, yeah.
Roller Derby.
Well, how could I possibly forget this? Now, what was the name of this show?
Oh, it's a new show called Roller Games, and this is a new syndicated show.
This show is the most amazing thing you will ever... It combines the speed and action of Roller Derby with the entertainment value of heavy metal music. It was quite a show.
It can't be as good as the American Gladiator show that I saw with Joe Theismann is the host.
Oh, no!
These two now are competing with one another. They're both in the syndication market, and it's a toss-up. Which one could be better? I think Gladiators might take the edge, because I haven't seen that yet.
We'll be back to more roller derby action, but first, a couple of songs from Warrant. Please, make them welcome. It was unbelievable.
Heaven is one too far away.
They did it. They did that, and
bring on the hungry gators. They had live alligators in a pit in the middle, in case anyone were to fall in.
Yeah, and a moat of goo, in case they want want to flip you over there.
So let me get, I'm getting more good feelings from you two than I've gotten in a long time. Is it going to be like a, maybe a once a week thing with your families getting together?
Absolutely not.
Once a month, maybe?
Let me jump right in there, Don. No, not once a week, no. But certainly, Frank's welcome to come down whenever he feels like it. But certainly not this week, because we had them over last week. But we actually had a pretty good time on Saturday.
Well, I have my in-laws staying with me, you know.
Oh, no.
And speaking of Trivial Pursuits, here at around my home, yesterday my wife had her whole family over to watch the game. And as it turned out, they would all rather watch Trivial Pursuit.
Yeah.
So it was left with everybody in one room and Frida's father and myself in the other room watching the Redskins.
That's fun, though. You like Les, right?
Yeah, that's fun. Mm-hmm. Except Les likes to nap a lot. But the thing is, he's got this football radar. I will be sitting there going, so Les, I talked to Rip and he was a little upset on Monday. He's off. He's off. He's sitting there in the lazy boy. He just... And the Redskins game yesterday was a little boring. So in the third quarter, I flip over to the Buffalo game. And he's there. Now, as soon as I flip, he'd automatically, that radar would go, he'd go, are we back on the Buffalo game? And I'd go, yes, Les, we're back with Buffalo now. Well, 2 seconds later, I'd start going, hey, Jim Kelly's having a hell of a day.
Hey, sure.
Then I swear to God, flip back to the Redskins a couple seconds later.
What's the score?
That's how I spent my day.
You think it might be some kind of a defense mechanism for Les, just tuning out so he doesn't have to deal with any of the family trouble?
I think it's something that came from living with his wife, which I think my wife's mother passed down. I think it's kind of an inherent thing in the genes.
Yeah,
there.
I'm thinking maybe a strategy that you can adopt.
If you're married to one of the women in my wife's family, eventually you're going to grow these little antennae like my favorite Martian had. And whenever they start that real high-pitched thing, you'll just buzz them right out.
Hey, you can just turn it off, fall sound asleep. It'll be perfect for you.
So that was what I did. And we also watched the Bob and Lucy show on Saturday night.
Yeah.
And I have only one theory, and that theory is really that I know that you made a fake commercial once about an X-rated movie with Bob and Lucy.
Right,
but
yeah.
I think that they're possibly as awful as this sounds,
sure.
And I mean as physically awful as it sounds,
yeah.
I think there was something going on between the two of them.
I think so, and I think that's why the special was done. I'm curious. I'd like to maybe do a little investigation.
How many times were they involved in a Major League lip lock together?
Quite a bit.
I mean, really, I didn't realize.
Not
enough to turn your stomach. Bob and Lucy making out on a couch in black and white from like the 1960s. Before she became old Lucy, back when she was middle-aged Lucy.
Yeah, and Lucy, very lovely. I mean, really, for her early career answer, don't look at me like that.
Don't look
please.
At you like what?
What?
Don't look at you like what?
When I said that,
I don't know what you're
Lucy
talking about.
Lucy was a nice package. I think Lucy was, her early days.
Oh, yeah, and Viv had a nice package, too.
No,
I want to tell you. Oh, man, Vivian Vance. Ooh,
I think
la,
Lucy
la.
In that movie, when she was just approaching, I guess, her late 30s, when they were on the boat, fishing on the boat.
The one where Bob grabbed her and then forced his tongue down her throat?
Yeah.
Yes, come here, baby.
But it was nice to see that relationship the two of them had, and what a stirring tribute that was.
I only wish that Bob and Lucy show should have been on Sunday night, and that Saturday Night Live show should have been on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it only makes sense. Plus, I couldn't stay up to watch the whole Saturday Night Live show last
and
night.
And I hear, and you know what, I missed the end of the Saturday Night Live show.
Well, don't tell me, because I taped it.
Okay, well, then I'll just tell you who they brought. They bring out at the end of the show Robin Williams, who does apparently 5 minutes straight.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so.
I did stay up to see the Bass-O-Matic, which is my favorite.
And the Julia Child, which was my favorite. I'm glad they included both of those.
Yeah, but that Bass-O-Matic, I remember the first time I saw that.
Right.
I was watching that, whenever that was first, I'm going, he's really going to put a fish in that blender.
Right, exactly.
And he really put it in. And then I wondered again last night what it must have smelled like when he was holding that cup of, and when Larry Newman holds up that cup and goes, bassy,
or whatever she said. She holds up the cup and goes, drinks it and goes,
that's great bass. I love it. Well, anyway, that show should have been on Saturday, and the Bob Loves Lucy thing should have been on Sunday night, and maybe more airtime, you're right, to Kirk Cameron.
Yeah, I agree, really.
He and Lucy meant so much to each other.
Oh, yeah. Is it safe to say that I had tears streaming down my cheeks when Kirk Cameron was giving his tribute to Lucy?
Their lives permanently intertwined. Oh, darn it, I don't think we're going to have time to call the Jose Canseco hotline this morning.
Oh, no.
Maybe tomorrow. However, we do have time for a quick Mad Lib.
Mad Lib, let's do it.
And while Mike grabs his pen, I'd just like to know, seriously out there, if anybody took my Hugo advice on Friday and ripped the labels off their canned items in their pantries.
Yeah, and Hugo really didn't even touch the area, did it?
Because I got to tell you the truth, in our pantry, looks handsome now. All those silver cans right next to each other, looks fantastic. Okay, we'll start with an adjective.
Stimulating.
Adjective.
Beautiful.
Plural noun.
Hold on. Dogs.
Plural noun.
Balls.
Adjective.
Pretty.
Noun.
Axe.
Noun.
Stone.
Plural noun.
Stones.
Adjective.
Smelly.
Hey, speaking of the Stones, you know, we can't get tickets, but did you know Frank is going tonight?
Really?
Name of person in room.
Don.
Adjective.
Exciting.
Noun.
Ring.
Adjective.
Beautiful.
Noun.
Rock.
Plural noun.
Balls again.
Plural noun. Pants. Adjective.
Exciting again.
And then two more adjectives.
Okay. Exciting. Breathtaking. And wonderful.
And wonderful. Okay. Here we go. This morning's Mad Lib with Mike. This morning, Mike gives a political speech. Ladies and gentlemen, on this
stimulating
occasion, it is a privilege to address such a
beautiful
looking group of
dogs.
I can tell from your smiling
balls
that you will support my
pretty
program in the coming election. I promise that if elected, there will be a
axe
in every
stone
and two
stones
in every garage. I want to warn you against my
smelly
opponent, Mr.
Don.
This man is nothing but a
exciting ring.
He has a
beautiful
character and is working
rock
in glove with a criminal element. If elected, I promise to eliminate vice. I will keep the
balls
off the city streets. I will keep crooks from dipping their
hands
in the public till. I promise you
exciting
governments,
breathtaking
taxes, and
wonderful
schools.
Yeah!
Ladies and gentlemen, here they are, the Mad Lib singers. Thank you, ladies.
Kiss me, Lucy.
And one more thing here at 6:32, and that is a really quick apology to those of you that came out to Skinny Fats on Friday night to our appearance out there and got jacked around and had to pay a cover charge to get in.
Yeah, normally when we go out somewhere, there's no cover charge. As a matter of fact, we talk about that on the radio. When we say come on out, we say you say it often, it don't cost nothing, and we apologize for that.
I want you to know, I was so agitated by this that there was a man who had to be, what, 150 pounds heavier than me?
No, this man was like 900 pounds.
This man was refrigerator.
Yeah.
This guy who was standing at the door, his name was Tony.
Yeah.
And I made the mistake of calling him a son of a gun.
Yeah, a son of a gun. That's exactly what you called him.
Yeah, when he would not let some of our folks in without paying there. And actually got almost into real fisticuffs.
Yeah.
And we talked to the weasel of a manager at that place, and we're not going back to that dive again. So if you paid to get into Skinny Fats, hey, I'm sorry, we don't condone that, and they suck water through straws.
It was kind of rough getting out of there, too. I had to make a getaway. Quick, let's go, run!
So anyway, sorry that you had to pay. It's 6:33 at WAVA. Of course, the Skinny Fats wanted to make it right. They write out a check for like $1,000 for Children's Hospital, because we figure that's how much they skimmed off the top.
Here. Good idea. So if you're listening, Mr. Skinny Fats.
Something tells me he's not. It's 6:33 at WAVA. We'll give away the trip to see the Rolling Stones in Atlanta, New York, Boston. Talk to Rip, talk to George Michael, and more in a couple of seconds here on Wave at 6:33.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
WPGC. Pardon me, I just ran back from the cold shower there, folks. It's in 9:05. This is Don Geronimo. And the radio program that's done for broadcasting. But the NBA officials do for Hubie Brown of the Atlanta Hawks. Boy, you were at that Bullets game with the Hawks last week, where we beat them by 20 points. You know what I mean. And if you'd like to go see the Bullets play the 76ers tomorrow night, you listen to Elliot Woodside. They'll have tickets for you tomorrow morning.
States.
You're calling over in Andrews. What's happening in Camp Springs tonight? Are things as exciting in Camp Springs as they always are?
Yes.
Well, I tell you, are you standing in front of the Pendry Pride store there watching the light change in front of the Memco?
No, why?
Oh, you're missing out on the big thrill in town.
Why?
Let me tell you, that's the biggest tourist attraction in Camp Springs.
A light changing?
Yes, ma'am. Metro weather. It must be the weather. Got to blame it on something here. Rain all the way through tomorrow. Should be sunny though on the weekend. High tomorrow, 60. Low tonight, 50. 62 degrees now. WTGC. Well, I figured out why I can't talk for a clear part. It's very hard to talk with your foot in your mouth. You ever try?
Ow!
Hey, your time has come! WPGC. In between the noise, the news, and the snooze, it's time for the Boogie Chug-a-Mug. Yes, ma'am. The eternal search for the intelligent yet entertaining phone call at 432-1580. This is Don Geronimo, your host for the Bookular Chug-a-Mug.
The Free Money Bunny, coming to WPGC this weekend with an Easter basket full of cash for you.
And you know what time that is?
It's time for the boogie check. A one, a two, a one, two, three.
Everybody now.
Boogie check, boogie check, boogie check.
And the ultimate search for the intelligent yet entertaining telephone call.
Boogie check, boogie check, boogie check.
WPGC, and after a rain check last night, it's the boogie check tonight. Good evening, Boogie Checker.
Hey, Geronimo.
Yeah.
Who's like to have a wigwam with in your teepee?
Pardon me?
I said, who would you like to have a wigwam with in your teepee?
Bette Midler.
You got it.
Oh, boy. Is she a rose or what?
Yeah, she's a...
Understand, she's pretty thorny, too.
Yeah,
hello, Boogie Jack of Life.
Hello.
Hello.
I have the all-time intelligent question.
What is the all-time intelligent yet entertaining question?
What time is it?
Time to find an intelligent phone call. Hello?
Do you know Fred Herrick?
Do I know Fred Herrick?
Yes.
No.
You don't?
No, I don't. But everybody calls and talks about him. Who is Fred Herrick?
Oh, Fred Herrick is a person at Woodward High School.
Oh.
He's a senior. He's in 12th grade.
Oh, well, that's who Fred Herrick is.
Yeah.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye.
WPGC, the Fred Herrick Show. Hello.
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Fine.
What can I do for you?
I want to say hi to Mary Ann Rada.
Hi, Mary Ann Rada. Boogie check, boogie check, boogie check.
Yes, I think WPGC is number one.
Thank you.
The Don and Mike Show.
Zero tolerance for stupidity.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
And good Thursday afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the best of Don and Mike. Coming to you coast to coast on the Westwood One Radio Network. How about that last segment, Don and Mike, circa 1985? I'm your host, Joe Ardinger, and we've got lots of more great stuff for you today. So, pleasure to be of my acquaintance today. Pleased to be listening to your radio. Hey, you know, I've got a little time to kill. I was in Target today. You know, all the kids are out of school now, and so when the moms go to Target, they have to take all the kids with them. And so this lady had all her little rugrats running around her ankles and everything, and one kid was sitting in the cart, though, and he looked to be 5 or 6 years old. I watched this kid. I am not kidding. He balled up his hand in a fist, and he punched himself right in the eye. And then he started to cry. And I started to laugh. And I got a dirty look from that lady. But is it just me? Or is that the funniest thing that you could possibly see at about 12:30 at Target? Anyway, enough about me. Let's get on with the best of Don and Mike. New contracts are signed and broken, it seems, every year with Don and Mike. However, they sign a new contract and they start talking about some of the new affiliates they pick up. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Urban or?
I had a Kung Pao spaghetti at the California. I just want to go on record as warning everyone.
Thanks for the warning.
It's Kung Pao spaghetti.
We will start to move the children out of the local schools.
It was wonderful.
We will put our outbreak suits on.
It was wonderful, but I really think I'm going to have some kind of heart attack before the show is over.
You see what this is right here? I know you on the radio can't see this. You know what this is, though?
Yeah.
This is our new contract.
There you go.
That's it right there.
There you go.
The new contract. All done.
Cool.
All done.
Cool.
Everything's done.
All we got to do is sign it now.
That's right. Dot the I's, cross the T's, are all done.
All done.
Yeah.
All the bitching, all the complaining, mm-hmm. all comes to an end right now.
Fortunately, yes, yes. It'll start up a new beginning.
Right here, today.
Here, here.
Oh,
here.
And you know, we've talked about a lot of the new stations that we will be signing on our network when we get this new deal in place in a couple of weeks. We're very excited about some of the major markets we're going to be getting into.
Yes.
I got news today that this is not a done deal. We know some big markets that we're going to be exploding into.
Right.
We're going to blow up big time in those markets.
Mm-hmm.
But I got word today about a gigantic market.
Right.
And a station that's interested in our show.
Good.
It is a brother station.
An urban, urban yes. contemporary would be the format?
Yes. An urban station.
Right on.
And, you know, maybe at some point in today's show, we'll open up the phones and ask some of the brothers who listen to us now, some of the brothers and sisters, you know, we'll ask them if they think this show would fit.
I think that's a wonderful idea.
On what is generally regarded in the industry as mm-hmm. one of the country's major hip-hop stations.
Excellent. I think that would be, I'd like to get the feedback.
It's simply a testament to how far this major station has slipped in the ratings.
Right.
That at this point they're looking to fix themselves with two white guys.
Two tragically white guys.
What?
And the question would be, would this show translate on a station like that? And
I think it would, because
I think it would, too.
I think our show is pretty much, color-friendly.
I agree, and I think we're universally accepted. You know, we cut across all boundaries. I do think we are like that.
You have an all-star hip-hop cast.
Although the hosts of the program are tragically
white. Yo, yo, yo! Because I got a call from somebody today, and this guy says to me, okay, now, which do you think your show would be more out of place on? A country station or a hip-hop station? And I said, well, a hip-hop station. He says, you're not going to believe this. One of the biggest hip-hop stations in America is very close to signing the new deal with the new syndicator.
Very cool. Very cool.
Well, listen, don't know if that's going to happen or
not.
See. We do know the other stuff's going to happen, and we thank you for listening, and we promise we won't keep you in the dark.
I think we speak the universal language of fun.
Yeah. We won't keep you in the dark too much longer about all the behind-the-scenes crap that's happening on the show.
Absolutely.
Suffice to say, we have the contracts now. We're ready to blow up big time.
Kudos to the Sandals one for finally getting that done.
Yeah, Junior Soprano.
Yep.
What, did he write it out longhand?
Mm-hmm.
For goodness sake.
Took him long enough.
Was he looking at a sundial?
Unbelievable.
Is that how he was judging the time that it took him to get these contracts done?
Writing it with a wood-burning set.
Hello. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, I need another 2x4.
Hello, you're on the air.
I am the first caller today.
Yes, you are, sir.
I'm going to make your day.
Really?
I saw the promo last night for the Jerry Springer show this evening on Channel 20 in D.C.
Yeah.
Now that they've cut the violence and all the cussing and everything out, he's gone completely insane.
Hey, well, you got to give Jerry Springer credit.
I know.
That's a way around the violence.
Yes.
You
don't need the violence. You can just bring in the other crap.
All right. Well, thank you, my friend.
Wow.
Bye, guys.
So the old girlfriend was... How sick is that?
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, hey, buddy.
Well, you guys sure do sound different on the phone.
Oh, come on. Will you just knock that off?
Hey, you hear the Redskins are changing their logo?
This would be a joke. Please, no jokes this early in the show.
Okay.
Okay.
Love of animals.
Right. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello, yes. I'd like to speak to Don and Mike about appearing on the black radio stations.
Yes. Well, you're on the air with us right now.
Oh, great. Well, I just have two words of advice for you.
Yeah.
First, you got to come out pro-OJ. How to get your black
radio. Well, that's why we have Buzz here. Buzz,
yeah,
right.
Buzz is pro-OJ. We got that covered.
The last 5 years, Buzz has been screaming every day. First thing I say, go, hi, Buzz. How you doing? He says, fine. OJ was guilty.
He's
right.
Innocent.
I'm sorry.
He's
innocent.
Innocent.
And second,
we got that covered.
Second, don't try to talk black. There's nothing worse than white guys trying to talk black.
But isn't it humorous when we try to talk black?
Yo, yo, yo!
Some of it is. But I mean, when you try to talk black like it's natural for you. You know,
peace. Well, we never do that. Right. Let me tell you something. Peace in the Mideast.
Yo, yo, yo!
I'm word. Down with that, my brother.
Word to your mother.
What school do you go to?
We would do, if we got on this hip-hop station, we'd do the exact same show we're doing now.
That's it.
You know. I think you got to do just fine.
All right. Well,
I'm a long-time listener. So
thank you.
Good luck to you.
Thank you, Mike.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
That's
bye-bye.
Good. Good bye-bye. To hear that.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Don, Mike.
Yeah, buddy.
How y'all doing?
Great, thank you.
Listen, I just, my name's Rob. I'm calling from North Carolina. I listen to y'all on 98.1 The Peak in Greenville.
Yes, sir.
I'm calling just to tell y'all, I've listened to y'all since about 95. I listen to y'all every day on my way home. You brighten my day. Oh. I have a stressful job. Y'all don't know what you do to me. I mean, there's days when I'm on the interstate, I'm traveling up, I'm just in a down mood, and I can listen to y'all and walk home and go into my family just in the best of moods. And I just like to thank you guys.
Well, thank you. And I think as a special treat to all the listeners, Mike is going to have that fatal heart attack today. I saw the physical.
Buzz, did you hear that?
No, I didn't.
Good. Okay, good. I mean, you know,
I saw you physically, like, coughing back what had to be, what, like a heartburn-y burp?
Yeah, it's just a real, there are a lot of ginger, a lot of garlic.
Right.
Just a real, I do not eat a big lunch. I mean, I really don't. I eat a big dinner late at night, a huge dinner right before I go to sleep. But I do not eat the big lunch.
Good.
And this is very different from my sister. But I don't usually, you know, I have a sandwich at the very most, and this was dinner. This was like, I asked the waitress today, I said, can you bring me a half portion? And she went, no. And she laughed. You know when somebody, for whatever reason, has a mocking tone, just kind of like a stupid question, so you immediately accept it instead of insisting on it. And, you know, when food's in front of me, I have to eat all of it.
Why didn't you just eat half of it?
I did. I actually only ate half of it. And it was still very, very powerful. It had shrimp. It had peanuts. It had a very rich fun.
I just put my hands out.
I actually just, you know what? You know, I just feel a lot more full than I normally do when the show starts. I feel...
And nothing would make that spicy, very inflammatory meal you just had better than your traditional 32 ounces of Mountain Dew.
Well, I need that now. That's required reading right there. I need that. I have to have that now. I have to. I wouldn't be able to do this show without the Mountain
sleepy.
Dew.
Hello, right. Don and Mike Show.
Futurama sucks and they got rules and Don and Mike are not controversial.
Yeah.
Mike, please, sir.
Yeah, hello. You're on the air. Hello there.
How you doing there?
Hey, we're doing great. Thank you.
I'd just like to tell y'all that you need a plug. Thank you. Bye.
You can always tell when the radio's turned up real loud, you'll get an intelligent comment like that.
All right, one more call that is down to business. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Show business.
Oh, I forgot. I want to say happy birthday to somebody today.
Please do.
I want to say, because the official, we celebrated on Sunday, so I almost forgot the official birthday. It's my daughter Catherine's fourth birthday today.
Yes, beautiful.
4 years. 4 years ago today. You were playing strip trivia. I was in Johns Hopkins Hospital.
And you called from the delivery room.
Oh, yeah.
Always with the priorities in place.
Yes, I did.
I love that. You called.
Yeah.
And you called right at the perfect moment, right as all the people had just taken the clothes off.
Right.
You called in with the great news that your wife had just delivered your first child.
I remember when I actually called with the news that the Catherine was doing fine and had been born. I remember being surprised because I was so focused on everything else that I had forgotten for a moment that you were playing strip trivia. Yeah. And when I heard the din in everybody going, hey! I realized that everybody was in here and I didn't. And they were actually, most of them were getting naked.
Yeah, well, I think they all were naked, I think.
Yeah, so a happy birthday to
Catherine. Happy birthday.
Beautiful, wonderful, sweet 4-year-old daughter, Catherine. I love her very much, and she's 4 today. 4 years old today.
That is great.
Yep. Hold on.
This is the hotline. Your family never calls. Is this your family? Hello?
Catherine doesn't know how to use the phone yet.
All right. Well,
that would be her, then.
That was the old hang-up call.
Laura's not at the house, and so Catherine's there by herself. So she should be.
No, I'm kidding. The latchkey kid. No one home. She's a latchkey kid.
Yeah, poor.
Hello.
She's watching her 2-year-old sister.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike. Hey, hi, guys. How you doing?
What are you trying to do?
Cool, guys.
Oh, you trying to do an impression of our agent?
Hey, listen, I know we have to sign that stuff today, but guys, I'm locked somewhere. I'm having trouble.
That's pretty good.
He's on the speakerphone.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Not on a speakerphone, guys. I'm locked in a basement, and it's filling up with water.
Stay.
I don't know if I can get...
Cool.
We got heat. I'm going to need you guys to be cool, guys.
Stay cool.
All right. All right, thank you.
Okay, really, one more call. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, how you doing?
Hey, Bobby.
Hey, I had a run-in with one of your idols, Michael Jordan, this last weekend in Napa, California.
Really?
Yeah, I saw him at the wine auction, which is a big event out here, and I walked no more than 5 feet from him. I said, hey, Michael, and turn around. I go, Don and Mike, say hi.
You tell him, I kick his ass at a game of horse.
Yeah, absolutely.
I kick his ass at a game of pig.
How many points? How many points would he have to give you?
Tell you this because...
He'd probably give me the H-O-R-S-E. I'd need a period. And he'd still beat me.
I had a run-in with... I was out on the golf course, and my wife was at this event, and she dragged me into the wine auction, and as I come back out, she has a ticket in her hand. for $12,000 for a lot of wine.
She bought a bottle of wine for...
No, she bought a lot, which is normally like a couple cases of wine and then like a weekend on some millionaire's yacht.
Your wife spent $12,000? I hope you cut her head off. I'm very serious. That's the answer to any problem with a lady. I learned that from Buzz's idol, OJ.
Innocent, put it in the wooden case of wine.
Well, gentlemen, I really enjoy your show. You guys get me through a lot of hard times.
Thank you.
And I tell you what, he turned around and he knew... You guys, he knew who you were.
Oh, please. Michael Jordan is more familiar with his morning than he is with us.
He looked, smiled, and then walked away. And he had heard it before.
And
somewhere along the line.
And the vibe that you got was
you guys are worldwide.
Yeah, right. Come on, please. Goodbye.
Yeah.
Come on. Goodbye.
Okay, show of hands. How many people didn't believe anything that guy said? Everybody's raising their hands.
I do think he'll cut his wife's head off. That I do think he'll do, regardless of if she spent 12 grand or not.
Someday when he gets married, he will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right, when he moves out of his mom's house. I had an experience this morning when I went to buy the new Def Leppard record.
Oh, yes, that's right. You were talking about that yesterday.
I didn't have time to get it on the way home last night, so I wanted to get up this morning to be the first on my block to have it. So I got to Best Buy at about 10 o'clock,
right.
And I was amazed that I got in line with... There had to be 100 teenage boys.
Really? There was a line for Def Leppard?
All of them with black t-shirts and ski caps on. Now, keep in mind, it's 100 goddamn degrees outside. Right? We're having a heat wave. They're all wearing black t-shirts, and most of them had the ski hats on. And I walk up there, and I said, hey, when's this store open? I said, 10 o'clock, Mom. And then I heard some of them talking about, how do you think it'll be, Mom? It's been 10 years since the last album.
Man, I didn't know that the fan level for that group was that passionate.
So I said to a couple, like, hey, are you here to buy the Def Leppard record? I said, yeah, man. I said, I am too. And he just kind of looked at me.
Like, what are you doing here, old man?
So it was almost like the Star Wars phenomenon when the toy store is open.
Right.
Because at 10 o'clock, the guy opens up, they got those big gates that come down.
Right.
You know, the guy opens up the gates, and then he automatically opens up the doors. And when the automatic doors open up, there was a rush of people. To get in there.
To grab it.
Right.
Did you get one?
I did not get it out of the first batch. I had to wait.
So they opened up another, like, box?
Yeah, for the guy with the blue smock on to go to go in the back and get another box of them.
Wow. You got it, Mom?
I got it. It rocks.
Are you going to play some for us?
It's out of my car. It's a good record. It's really good.
Is that what you were listening to when you drove into the garage today?
Yeah. Yeah, why'd you hear it?
It's thumping.
Yeah, it's good.
Big time.
Kicks ass, Mom. Kicks ass.
Good old-fashioned rock and roll?
Yeah, it's good. Well, there's nothing like it out there now. You know, it's all that
no, there isn't.
Backstreet Boy crap that you hear on the radio all the time. It's good.
Ooh.
Record will be a smash. I'd like to cut the Backstreet Boys' heads off, too. As long as we're on that topic.
Are you in a head-cutting-off mood today?
No.
No. The average. No.
Like
the
average head
cutting off.
Like the other day. Yeah. I'm just like in an OJ mood today, I guess.
Okay.
I don't know.
In an OJ state of mind.
Yeah. So I wanted to say hi to all my peeps, all my peers who are online with me today.
Everybody real happy when they got it?
All you dudes. Yeah.
I bet there's a bit of an odor there, too, with 100 degrees and all.
Yeah, lots of pimples and stuff. I was definitely the only 40-year-old in line. Definitely the only 40-year-old in
line. I think
line.
That's a credit to you. I think that's very cool.
Well, I don't. I felt like an idiot.
I think it's pathetic a little bit.
Yeah. Well, are you kidding? When I pulled up there and I thought, wow.
Right.
They must be having some kind of a gigantic sale that I didn't read about in the newspaper. Then I checked out the average age in line. You know, not to mention, how come all those kids weren't in school today?
Hey, maybe you should have brought that up, being the elder of the group. Excuse me, fellows. How come you're not in school today?
Hey, dude. Hey, Mom, let's beat up the truant officer.
Wouldn't it be better if you're out, if you're not in school, how about looking for your summer job? Find your summer job.
Record kicks ass, though.
All right.
Good. It's a good record. Good. Okay. Hello.
Oh, Don and Mike.
Yes, hello there.
How you guys doing? Let me just put my beach blanket away there. I just wanted to say to you guys, I think it's a real good idea that you all are going to that black station. I have a lot of buddies that are black, and they really enjoy your show.
Well, I'm going to have a phone meeting with the program director, I think either tomorrow or the next day. He's going to rap to me about some of the issues that he has.
He's going to rap to you, huh?
He's going to rap to me. I'm going to go, yo, yo, yo! Yo, yo! What the dealio?
Yes, indeed. Also, Mike.
Yes.
Mike, I think it would be a really great idea if I could join your fan club. And I would like to join his Crocodile Hunter.
Oh, you mean the Impressionist Camp?
The Impressionist
Camp?
Yes,
indeed. Because, you see, it would be very, very dangerous for me to join this camp because Mike would fall in love with me. Mike,
so he's auditioning. He's doing a Steve Irwin in impersonation.
Awful.
And it's just not up to standards.
It's awful.
But, you know, the good thing about the camp is every year you can reapply.
I'll do that. I'll work on it.
Okay, please do. Spend the better part of the year working on that, and then we'll see you at the camp. Next year we're going to have canoe trips.
Well, that sounds good. Bring your canoes.
That's right.
Where all the young impressionists take their shirts off. And
uh-huh.
Today on the Lazy River with Camp Master Mike.
Well, I'll tell you right now, the shirts come off without the canoes. We don't have the canoes yet. That was last year. We implemented that one. Everybody gets off the bus, the school buses, the yellow school buses that we rent, and as soon as they come up, their shirts are collected. Rain or shine.
Stay tuned.
Oh, this is fun.
We'll be back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Just noticed something that in one of your interviews with John Candy, I believe, it looked like an older interview, you had less hair than you have today. How do you explain that?
I don't wear a wig, sir.
Paint your bald spot?
What bald spot?
You paint your bald spot?
I don't know what you're talking about, sir. My hair grows.
Do you paint your bald spot?
I don't have a bald spot.
How come you had less hair on the tape?
Maybe my hair grew. Maybe I had a bad haircut that day. By the way, something. What do you care?
Paint your bald spot?
I don't. Do you paint your bald spot?
Paint your bald spot?
I'm sick.
The Don and Mike Show. Now in their 20th season, it's the Don and Mike Show.
That's right. Good Thursday afternoon, everybody. Joe Ardinger with you. Pleased to be bringing you the best of Don and Mike.
Whatever gets you through the night.
On the Westwood One Radio Network. Now, in this segment, we've got Def Leppard, Larry King, and your calls. It all adds up to the best of Don and Mike.
Sick of this song, though.
You are?
Yeah.
You had it on a continuous loop in your car.
I'm into the Def Leppard now.
I know Charlie Boyle is very jealous.
That's a good album. Robbie?
Yeah.
Maybe we should just toy with Broyhill. Would you mind running down to my car?
Not at all. Where are your keys?
Hold on a second.
You created such a frenzy around it that I'm actually looking forward to hearing it, too.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah, but I know what you're going to do because you're going to toy with Broyhill. You're going to play just a tiny second.
Is it in the CD player?
Nope. Sitting on the seat.
Okay.
You press this button to unlock the doors.
Is that why it says unlock on it?
Then, after you get the CD, press that button to lock the doors.
I hope I don't get confused.
Thank you. I know.
If you do it correctly, there's a nice biscuit for you.
Hello. Oh, what am I doing here? Oh, it's Mike the TV boy. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Hello.
Ah, it's Larry King. Hello, Larry. No, you're not. We are on in Harrisburg, but you're calling us in D.C., Larry.
So what?
You're calling us, Larry, and you said Harrisburg. This isn't Harrisburg. Larry, what's going on? Larry, I know you're laughing, but Larry. Really, what's happening? How are you?
Michael?
Yes, Larry.
I was at the doctor say I have a brain tumor.
Oh, no, I had no idea.
You have a brain tumor, Larry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry to hear that, Larry. Lawrence?
I'm an individual. I don't want this.
Oh, who would, Larry? I don't think there's anybody on the face of the planet that would want that.
Yeah.
You don't want what? What was that news again, Larry?
Don?
Yes.
I was at the doctor say I have a brain tumor.
What was that, Larry?
It made me feel real good, Don.
It'll make you feel real good, Don.
What would make me feel good? What's the news again?
I was at the doctor say I have a brain tumor. It's going to come out, though.
Oh,
wow. It is. Your brain's coming out?
They're going to take it out through your bald spot?
No!
Oh, really?
But they're going to remove your brain, Larry?
Yeah.
Oh, they are.
They're going to remove your brain.
And then you'll be all better?
2 + 2 = 4.
Larry's rambling again.
I guess you won't be able to do that after they remove your brain, huh?
No!
No. Well, no. That's terrible. Just one more time. What was that news?
Michael?
Yes, yes, yes. Tell us the news again, Larry. What's wrong with you?
I was at the doctor say I have a brain tumor.
Robbie, did you hear this? You better tell me that also, Larry, because Rob just went to my car to get the new Def Leppard record. Hold on. Yeah, go ahead. Tell me again. Rob's listening.
Don?
Yes, Larry.
I was at the doctor today. I have a brain tumor.
Oh, Larry, I'm sorry.
You know, there's some pretty sharp editing going on there.
There is indeed.
Unless Larry King really announced on his show last night that he has a brain tumor.
Yeah, that one wouldn't we look silly. All right, well, what's going on? What else is going on, Larry?
Where's my clicker?
He wants his clicker.
I don't know. Maybe it's right in front of you. You just can't find it because of your brain problem.
The what?
Your brain problem.
Don?
Yes.
Where's my clicker?
Oh, he wants to know where his clicker is.
I bet it's right. Maybe you're sitting on it, Larry.
That was wrong.
That you were sitting on your clicker?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's guess again. Maybe you left it in Chance Armstrong King's bassinet.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, you agree with that. Well, Larry, do you enjoy watching the TV?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
God, why'd you do this to me?
Yeah. Now he's talking to God.
He's very upset. But you said they're going to take care of that that tumor, right, Larry?
Yeah.
What are they going to do?
It's going to come out, though.
It's going to come out.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad it's going to come out.
Maybe it's God's way of paying you back. Because, you know, a lot of people think that you've achieved this level of success that you must have made some kind of pact with the devil or Satan.
Is that true, Larry?
Have you...
I have a theory that a lot of showbiz people, you, Kathy Lee Gifford,
that's right,
Billy Crystal,
mm-hmm,
all of you, with no visible talent,
right,
you signed a deal with Satan to get these various showbiz deals. You know, you signed your soul away.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you agree, Larry, because we think that's true, that you do have a pact with the devil.
No!
No, you don't. So you're saying, answer the question, yes or no. Have you ever signed a deal with Lucifer, Satan?
No.
There's a little hesitation.
A little stammer there.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a personal meeting with Lucifer, Satan?
Yeah.
Yeah, he has.
Does Chance have 666 on the back of his skull?
That was wrong.
Oh, wow. He didn't care for that.
Sorry.
We might get another insult from Larry. Yeah, you didn't like that, did you, Larry?
No.
F you.
What was the big news again, Larry? I keep forgetting.
Don?
Yes.
Where's my clicker?
That's not the big news.
That's not the big news.
You had some medical news for us, Larry.
The what?
You had some medical news.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was the medical news, Larry?
I was at the doctor today. I have a brain tumor.
And are you going to be okay, or are they going to operate?
Yeah, it's going to come out, though.
That's good.
All right, was there anything else, Larry? Because, frankly, that's big news that you have a brain tumor, but I have the new Def Leppard record, and I want to play it now. I mean, just a portion of it.
The what?
I have the new Def Leppard record, and I want to play some because Charles Broyhill doesn't have it yet. Yeah, funny, huh?
Anything else, Larry?
No!
All right. Thank you, Lawrence.
Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Hello. All right. Quick quiz. Right now, while you still have your brain, what is 2 plus 2?
2 plus 2 equals 4.
Right.
Very
thank
good.
Thank you, Larry.
F you, Larry.
F you.
Okay, thanks, Larry. Bye-bye. All right, Gadget, come here, please, if you'd like to hear a snippet of the new Def Leppard.
Now, are you going to play your favorite cut on the album?
We're going to play cut number 2, which is called Promises. I'll just play a little bit of it, since we're not a music show. You know, but it's a great CD.
All right.
Hi, Charlie. Well, come on, say something. Hello. This is what the actual CD looks like.
That's pretty.
It's called Euphoria by Def Leppard.
Wow.
And here's the single. It's kind of a different sound for Def Leppard.
Okay. They're a little more pop.
Ladies and gentlemen, Def Leppard.
He comes up like a rose.
That's not Def Leppard.
No, it's not. Mike, it's Chris Burr.
Oh. Bet you did a nice time.
Porky.
All right, hold on.
I thought Shania Twain's husband really did a trick with him, if that was them.
Now, that's something I didn't know. Broyhill told me yesterday that the new Def Leppard record is produced by Shania's husband.
Really?
Yeah. I won't bore you with a lot of it. I'm just talking to everybody listening to us. Pretty kick-ass record, though.
Hey, everybody. My name's Dick Cheese, and here's Def Leppard.
Good, man.
What's that big rhythm sound, man? The drums are coming through the floor.
And they got all the big harmonies coming in now. record, I swear to God.
You hear that? F you, Backstreet Boys. F you, NSYNC.
And that's just one of 13 great cuts that I'll be listening to.
Really? Mine has an extra 14th that I guess you didn't order.
Huh. You do not have a 14th cut on your CD. You do not.
I got the Japanese import.
Oh, you did?
You're lying.
No, I'm not.
Oh, are you kidding? God.
You have a special CD that has an extra cut on it?
Not yet.
Did you really order a Japanese export?
No, but I will. Import.
Oh. All right.
You don't have it yet.
There you go. There you go, guys. You want to listen to it? There you go. What's the magic word? There you go. All right. Get out of here,
guys. He really wanted it.
Yeah. Well, we both love Def Leppard, man.
That sounds great. You don't hear a lot of that anymore.
Kicks ass. Mm-hmm. I mean, really. There's no band that kicks ass like Def Leppard.
That's great.
And with all the other crap that's out there right now.
I know. There's we're starving for it.
It's good, man. Whole record's good. Every cut's good. And it's got that, you know what I like about Def Leppard? Like when their songs start out and they go, Inka, Gunburn, Goomburn, Glauden. And then you got that. It's got a lot of that stuff on it.
I do, and you really, I mean, it is hard to find that. I mean, you don't hear that anymore, because, for what reason, I do not know.
I don't know. The Backstreet Boys is such I hate the Backstreet Boys. I swear to God. Hello, Donna Mike. I hope that plane that they're in their new video, I hope it crashes.
Oh, my God.
Have you seen the video?
The new video
where they're all wearing matching white suits, and they're in an airplane hangar, and there's like 1,000 girls that haven't had their first...
Yeah, they're all holding up signs.
You really do hate the Backstreet Boys. Yeah, well, turn on MTV. It's the only video they show. And it's like them walking around. And all of them look like that Jonathan Taylor Thomas guy. And they got a big jet behind them. It's obvious that they make so much money now that when they tour...
Yeah, I've seen that.
They have their own jet, and it says on it, Backstreet Boys.
Fly away, boys.
Hello.
Hey, man. You're really showing your age there, Don. That record blows big time.
Oh, what's better than Def Leppard that's out right now?
How about Limp Bizkit or Korn or Deftones
please.
How about Battery Apple?
I never heard of any of those bands except for Korn.
You never heard of Battery Apple? You never heard of Limp Bizkit? You never heard of...
I like the name of Limp Bizkit. I like Limp Bizkit. What kind of music does Limp Bizkit play?
A lot more hardcore music than that wimpy-ass Def Leppard.
Def Leppard kicks ass, man.
They suck, man.
They kick ass, man.
And I do not care for Limp Bizkit. I like a nice, well-cooked, fluffy biscuit with butter.
Not in my show.
You fat...
What?
So, hey, why don't you put in some little Warner Loverboy, you fat...
Man.
Such hostility.
Excuse me.
You know what? I'm sorry. That's right. Because I guess you buy all your records in the tower. Excuse me.
Excuse me. Oh, let me go get my big thirsty bath towel. Listen to Def Leppard.
Hey, Def Leppard kicks ass, man. If you don't like him, you're a
dude.
No, you're a...
Listen to the passion.
I can't wait till next Friday when you come down so I can kick your fat ass.
Oh, please. You know, and all this talk about me being such a fat ass. You know how much I weigh, pal? I weigh just about...
200, you blimp.
200. I'm in a size 36. That's down from a size 44 about a year and a half ago. I will kick your ass.
Oh, no, and the drummer only has one arm. What's up with that?
You friggin'... I will kick your ass.
Boy.
I will kick your ass. I've got your mom.
Really?
And I'll tell you something, she...
What are you talking about?
Man.
How long has the Good Seasons been left out on the counter?
Since Anna Maria Albergetti did the commercials. And I'm sure you don't know about that because you're just some punk. Some punkers! I dare you. Def Leppard's great.
Your mama's... left since the days that Anna Maria Albergetti was doing the commercials.
Def Leppard kicks ass, man.
Such passions aroused by selection of music.
Amazing. Hello?
Don and Mike.
Yes.
Def Leppard sucks. You need to listen to Godsmack.
Godsmack?
I'm going to smack some of you listeners pretty quick.
Godsmack.
I'll listen to whatever I want to listen to. You hear me?
All right.
Okay.
Godsmack.
All right.
I like the Def Leppard.
Goodbye. No, they kick ass. It's a great record. Oh, you we'll see what it's number one this week.
You want to talk about you know what I bought last night in the record store?
What?
Andrea Bocelli.
Yeah,
what is that?
Huh? That's a real record. Now, how come nobody calls up to tell Mike he's a What is an Andrea Bocelli?
He's not an opera singer, but he's kind of an opera singer. Yeah, he is actually an opera singer, and he does a duet, a song with a female artist that I really enjoy, and she will go nameless for the purposes, because I simply don't. I will take the abuse for Andrea Bocelli, but I don't want to take the abuse for the singer that he's doing the duet with.
Now, people won't give you any crap, because people are threatened by me because I'm so goddamn hip. Because
right.
I'm so on the edge, man.
All right, then I'll say the...
me and my Volvo, because I'm so goddamn hip.
I'll mention the artist that he does the duet with.
Who? Celine Dion?
Yes.
Okay.
Celine Dion walks into a bar. Bartender says, "Why the long face?"
Hey, I want to tell you.
That is a good joke.
I want to tell you. And so, Shecky Burbank over there, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, yeah, by Burbank. I get it.
It's Shecky Burbank.
Yeah.
I bought Harry Connick also.
Oh, come on. Put those calls through, please.
Okay. I haven't heard it yet. Is it good, Rob?
I don't know.
I'll check it out. I think I heard it on in the background. This is my last chance with him, incidentally, because I liked him when he came out with the When Harry Met Sally soundtrack.
Oh, please.
But
www.com.
I'm not telling any lies here, too. I am telling the truth.
Oh, no, I know you are.
I heard it on in the background, and it's just, I think he's too in love with himself to make a good record.
I think you're in love with him.
Well, I like big band music. That's why I want to hear the band. I don't want to hear Harry Connick as much as the band. It's all about the big sound of the band.
Def Leppard rocks, man.
I like Def Leppard.
Hello. Frankly, your endorsement rings hollow, Mike.
I know, because that's
a
Celine Dion.
By a Celine Dion record.
I'd rather Prayer is the song I heard. It was performed on one of those award shows.
I have a prayer. I'd rather have you not line up on my side than this one.
Well, now you've gone and hurt me again.
Why do you make me hurt you, Mike?
I know you. I do. I do. So you tell me.
You made me hurt you again.
You made me hurt you. Maybe I want to be hurt.
Okay, hello.
Is this, hey, Don?
Yes, sir. Hello.
Hey, all these little kids weren't even born when Def Leppard first came out.
That's right. They can all eat.
They're just little children that like cake and cracker. Thanks, dude. Later.
Right. See,
I think their passion's on either side.
Sure. Right.
I would actually, you know, I'd like to see Sammy Hagar get back together with the rest of Van Halen.
Hello.
Hi, Don. How are you?
Hello.
I wanted to tell you that I love the group Def Leppard.
Of course.
I've always liked their albums.
They're fantastic.
I especially like Pyromania. And I've been listening.
He's a pyromaniac.
Bow, bow.
Mm-hmm.
And I also want to tell you how much I appreciate you and Mike. I have a 2-hour commute one way every morning, so I'm on the road about 4 hours a day to work. And when I get off work, you're the only thing I look forward to on the ride home.
God
and
bless.
I just
very
really,
nice
really appreciate you guys. I really think you're funny, and you really helped me get home.
Oh, blah, blah. Thank you very much. That's very nice.
Very nice of you to say.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. See you later.
Thank you. Hello. Hello, Donna Mike.
Turn your radio down.
Yep. All right. Hold on. One more call. He's a guy from Oakland, California. Hello, Matthew.
Hey, Donna Mike. What's happening?
Hey, Matthew.
There's a commercial out for PlayStation, and it opens up with these five little pussy-looking guys, all in white, singing about how they love you so much, I love you, and then these bikers and skaters come by and kick their ass.
Really, that's a PlayStation game where, like, they beat up the Backstreet Boys?
Well, no, the commercial just opens up like a Backstreet Boy video.
PlayStation.
Hello?
Just doing that little thing they do at the end of the commercials.
Oh,
always
makes me.
I always.
That's annoying.
It.
I don't like
creeps
that.
Creeps me. Creeps me out a little bit.
I don't like that. When they bang, 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 feature. The little P turns around real fast. Okay, thank you.
Don, Mike, you guys rock.
I'll look for that. Thank you, my friend.
Love you.
All right. No, love you.
Love you.
Love you. Love Def Leppard.
Love you.
Oh,
man.
Yeah.
Oh, he's getting a little too into that.
Not the way that Mike loves Harry Connick, though. Not the way that you love his Harry Connick.
So well, I can tell by the sound.
I know your voice said you're really in love with me. And you are.
When I say you, baby,
I love you. Baby, I love you.
I love you.
Surrounded by...
And I do.
All right.
I do.
Put an end to that right now, Celine. We will come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
My dad doesn't like my attitude. So Uncle Pussy said that I should come down here and talk to you. Because you're old and have wisdom and stuff.
Oh, his mother's another one. Well, what'd you do?
I took Mom's car out of the garage and it got wrecked.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
What's the purpose?
of worth?
Being here on our planet.
Why does everything have to have a purpose? The world is a jungle. And if you want my advice, Anthony, don't expect happiness. You won't get it. People let you down. And I'm not naming any names. But in the end, you die in your own arms. It's all a big nothing. What makes you think you're so special?
The Don and Mike Show.
Is it the Don and Mike Show? You bet.
That's right, it sure is, you bet. What makes you think you're so special? Welcome back to the Best of Don and Mike, coast to coast, across the nation on the Westwood One Radio Network. I'm your host, Joe Artinger. And in this segment, Don and Mike, well, they called Jethro, Max Baer from the Beverly Hillbillies. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Now, here's Jethro in the news.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you remember last year we had this guy Jethro on the show, and it was just...
Yes, it really turned out ugly.
Dr. Jack Kevorkian should have come in to put us out of our misery with this guy.
Yeah, did not end well.
Went awful. The guy didn't want to talk about being Jethro on the Beverly Hillbillies. He wanted to talk about all of his business propositions he had on the horizon and this stupid casino that he's still trying to build out in Reno.
Yeah, and he went on and on and on, and then we kind of like shut the microphones off and talked about it, and then he found out about it, and he got mad, and it was just ugly, and then he said he, you know, he talked bad about us on every show he ever went on, and it just was ugly, ugly, ugly.
Okay, well, in the New People magazine, they have an article this week on Jethro, and surprise, the article again is about the casino that he's still dreaming about building.
God.
Okay, but there's a couple interesting things in this article, and then we researched and we found his home number, so we'll give him a call and see if he still hates us.
All right.
Let me see. Max Baer, Jethro on Beverly Hillbillies, dreams of a casino with dice, fun, and Ellie Mae's buns.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the story still goes on that he still wants to make Jethro's Beverly Hills Mansion and Casino a $130 million, 140,000 square foot venture in Reno.
Okay.
All of the waitresses will be dressed like Ellie Mae. We have Granny's Shotgun Wedding Chapel, General Jethro's All-You-Can-Eat Buffet.
Right.
With two-pound Jethro hot dogs on Ellie Mae's buns. All the same crap that he was spewing to us.
Right.
So then you read on in the article, and it says again he's having the problem with the zoning people in Reno, and he still has not been able to put this plan together to build this dream casino.
Right.
And then in the last part of this article, something caught our eye. Let me see. He currently lives in a five-bedroom chalet in Lake Tahoe, which he shares with his blind dog and two male roommates.
Really?
Huh. Really?
Fascinating.
Let's call Jethro.
Okay.
And tell him hello.
See if he's still mad. That's right. That's see if we can turn his tears to laughter and find out if everything is A-okay.
Find out about those two male roommates. And here's a picture of him with his blind dog.
Ah.
He's cuddling the dog.
Very nice.
Remember, it did not end good with him. He was very angry.
We'll we'll see if we can revisit it and make it right.
Jethro is a powerful man. Well, finally, we had Jet on the show.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's...
He's not available.
No, that's not it. No. We are simply trying to get Jethro.
Buddy Ebsen's still alive.
Yes, he is.
Barely. He was barely alive when we had him on this show.
More fun than Jethro.
Oh, absolutely he was. Well, I bet we're going to get another answering machine. Normally after four rings you get the machine.
Mm-hmm.
Lives with his blind mutt Clancy and his two male roommates. Let's leave a message, and then we'll call back, and we'll get the cell number.
You may start your message now.
Hi, Max. It's Don and Mike.
We want to know if you still dislike us, or if we could possibly be friends.
We'd like to mend the fence. We saw the article in People with you and your dog, Clancy. We read with great interest about your two male roommates.
So if you could call us here, we would like to be friends.
Remember us? Remember you told Jimmy the intern that you were going to go on every radio and TV show in the future and say, F Don and Mike? Did you ever do that?
Yes.
I hope you didn't.
And do you still mean it?
We'd like to be friends, Jethro.
Call us, please.
Max, this is Don.
And this is Mike.
Our best to Clancy. We'll try you on your cell phone.
Take care.
Ciao.
Okay.
There we go. Good.
Hold on. We got to call back.
Jethro with a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably just a phone with a string attached to it.
This works great, Granny.
I just want to hear him say, hi, this is Max again.
In the cement pond.
Hi, this is Max.
We're waiting. We're waiting for the answering machine.
That was a big showbiz feud we had with him.
Yes, it was. It's all going to end now, though. There it is.
There it is. Pick it up, Robbie. Wow. Hello, this is Max.
This is Don and Mike. Can we be friends?
How come he talks like this in his answering machine? But on the show, he talks like this!
Fantastic! I'm sure hungry, Granny. I am super hungry right now.
All right, you're going to call Jethro on his cell phone. You got it there, Robbie?
Yeah, there it is. Bottom
Thank
number.
You. Bottom number. Thank you.
Very good. Now, hopefully, we will be able to finally make contact and everything will be fine.
And peace.
Right. Peace.
We are trying.
Did I dial the right number?
Yeah.
That's his, he talks the same way on his cell phone.
Voicemail.
Hold on.
Oh, that's the voicemail.
Please record your message after the tone. Or to send a numeric page, press 2.
Hello, Max. It's Don and Mike again. We just left you a message at home.
We've left you a message now on your voicemail. Because we would like to mend the fences.
We're behind you in your bid to get the Jethro Casino built. And we hope that you're not going on every radio and television show and saying F Don and Mike as you told Jimmy the intern you would.
And we're talking like this because, well, on your answering machine, you talk like this.
Hi, this is Max. And have a great day.
Take care.
Bye. So call us,
please.
And our best to Clancy, your blind mutt, and your two male roommates.
Goodbye, Max.
There we go.
Thank you for calling Pacific Bell Wireless.
Can we hear it?
Your message was sent.
Oh.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
All right, goodbye.
Goodbye. Well, you know, I think those messages will finally mend the fences with Jethro.
We've tried.
We could page him.
All right, sure. Oh. Same number?
Yeah, it was the same number you just called.
All right. All right, well, you come over here and work the phone. I'll get his thing going here. Oh, hold on.
Real number.
Put the hotline in. I have the hotline.
Because that's the goal. We just want to, you know, improve relations.
Probably just press 2. You have to press 2 to leave a number?
Yeah, 7, 8, 9, 10. All right, Rob is doing that right now. And hopefully we'll get
it's
a call
the hotline.
Back.
We'll ring right to the producer's room.
Oh, well, you should have left the hotline, so it would ring right in here.
I don't know the hotline number.
Oh, okay. All right.
Jethro is a powerful man.
Jethro is a powerful man. All right, well, we've tried.
We've tried. We've extended the olive branch.
We've tried. We'll see if we hear back from good old Max Barrow Jr.
We certainly hope so.
He was a very angry man. We had him on.
He was.
Time.
He was. And yes. I'd certainly like to change that. All we wanted to do was talk about the Beverly Hillbillies.
Well, I wonder what's up with those two male roommates, too.
Yes, be very curious about that.
And his blind mutt, Clancy.
Fantastic.
Hotline is ringing right now. I wonder if this could be the old Jethro. Hello, Don and Mike Show Hotline.
Yeah, no. This is, Jethro Bodine.
Max.
I was paged. Yeah. Hi, I'm Jethro.
Hello, Max.
Give me some cornbread, Granny. Hello, I'm returning the call from the Don and Mike Show.
Yes, this is Don of the Don and Mike Show. Is this Max?
Oh, hi, Don. This is Jethro Bodine.
Is this Max Bayer Jr.?
Uh-huh.
Hmm.
And I called because you called me. And ow. Oh, I hurt my tooth. I wanted to listen forgiven now. And everything is forgiven, and all is well. I'm really excited about my TV show that I used to be on, the Beverly Hillbillies thing. I can talk the way I used to talk on the show if you'd like me to.
Oh, sure, please do, Max.
Hey, Granny! I want to go in the pool, in the cement. I want to sit in the cement.
You know.
I sure am hungry.
Something, hold on. Max, yeah. Can you hold on just a second?
Yeah, sure.
You know, something tells me that this might not really be Max Baer. How did you get this phone number? Because whoever this is did call us on the hotline.
I got it because you paged me and you put the phone number in.
You know, wait a minute. His voice sounds strangely familiar to me.
This is just a routine. Granny, where are the critters? Yeah, where are the critters?
What is the name of your blind dog, according to People Magazine?
Spot. Spot the dog. My blind dog, Spot.
And who are...
I know Jed. Jed is my father.
Who are your current roommates?
Amy and Mrs. Drysdale.
I want to tell you, I know right now this is... I don't know who this is. A fantastic impression of Max Baer Jr.
No, this is Max Baer.
This is not Max Baer Jr.
No. Yes, it is.
This is not. I would bet $1 million if I had $1 million.
No, money. Joe, shut up, Joe. I'm on the phone.
Who are you talking to there, Max?
No one. No one's here. I'm watching TV.
Oh, wait. You know what?
What?
I think I know who this is.
Bodine.
Is this Dennis Murphy?
No! No! No, this is not Dennis Murphy! This is Max Baer from the Beverly Hillbillies!
Wait, I got it now. Mm-hmm. Somebody else pulling our chain here.
Hey, Granny, the critters are coming down, and Eddie Mae's gonna come down to our big house with rich people. It's Jack Ross!
Alright, I got it. Wait a minute, hold on.
Oh.
Hello, Tom Gavin.
No! It is not Tom Gavin! It is not Tom Gavin! This is Charlie Stewart's Devilah.
Charlie!
I was kidding you! I was doing an impression of Jethro! Wasn't it great?
It was good.
Joe, say hi to Don, Joe. That's Joe. He's in the back watching TV and eating Reese's peanut butter cups.
So, you spend all your time with Joe Artinger now?
Yes, Joe's my new best friend.
What happened to your brother Matthew?
Matthew is no longer living with me. He is living back in Hyattsville with Huggy Bear on his own. He's doing really well now.
Really?
Yeah, he makes his own waffles every morning right in the toaster. So he's happy and I'm living with Joe Artinger. Joe Artinger, we both work at WJFK. You know that, Don.
What are you doing at the station right now, Charlie? Are you here at the station or are you at your Unabomber shack with Joe?
I'm living with my house with Joe right in downtown Fairfax in our apartment that we share. That we share together, our one-bedroom apartment.
What are the sleeping arrangements in that apartment?
Joe gets the bedroom.
Where do you sleep, Charlie?
I sleep out on the patio. You know the balcony?
Yeah.
When it's hot, I sleep out there. Because I sweat really bad, even with the air conditioner. And Joe says, Charlie, turn down the air conditioner. There's too much bills. So I say, okay, Joe. And then I actually slept out in the hallway when his brother came.
Of Joe's brother. Oh, Joe's brother, who was visiting from Montana, right?
Yeah, Montana boy. I love living with the Artingers. I really do. We have a good time, Don. We really, really do.
So what is your job now? I never see you around WJFK anymore. What is your job here now?
I'm doing all sorts of things. Mr. Stevens had me put in brand new bushes.
Okay, Charlie.
He doesn't want to come on the phone.
He doesn't. Tell Joe I want to talk to him.
No!
Tell Joe I really want to talk to him.
Joe,
Tom
really wants to talk to
him. Tell Joe I
want
to talk to him.
He said, okay. He's coming to the phone now.
What did he say?
Hello? Hello?
Is this Joe Artinger?
Yeah.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, Bob.
Are your eyes all squinty right now?
Charlie.
Did you tell him to call in and pretend to be Jeff?
Yeah, that was my idea. It was my idea. I was ironing some t-shirts and I decided to have him call you and pretend. He pretended he was Jeff Wilbodine and we were just dying over here. I was over here with my brother from Montana. We were laughing our asses off, man. It was so funny. Hey, Charlie! Oh, man.
Put him back on. Good talking to you, Jeff.
Yeah, good talking to you, Don. Bye.
I got to talk to Joe.
We're having so much fun. We're having so much fun, Don. It was Joe's idea, okay?
Okay, Charlie.
Nice talking to you, Don.
You too, Charlie.
Say goodbye, Joe. Say goodbye to
bye,
Joe.
Bye, Joe.
Bye, Don.
Bye, Joe.
Bye, Don.
It's too bad we couldn't talk to Joe's brother.
Hey, he was also sitting on a couch.
Well, that's a first. Yeah. That's a first, being able to talk to Joe Ardinger on this show.
I had no idea that Charlie Stewing Stablike was actually now living in Joe's one-bedroom apartment.
Living with the Ardinger boys.
That's right.
I don't think it's an apartment. I think it's like the Ted Kaczynski's Unabomber cabin.
You think it's a cabin? You know,
yeah.
Maybe it is a cabin.
Pretty sure it is.
Dirt floor.
No modern conveniences at all.
But they're so happy.
Oh, they sure are.
Really happy. It's nice to see Charlie really happy for a change. Really, I've never seen him happier. I really haven't.
Let's take a phone call.
Okay.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Oh, what'd I do? Was that me or them? Hello.
Nothing you can say could keep me away from being Mike Guy. Woo! Mike Guy. You know, cause I'm a little afraid.
Is this guy on your team?
I can't complain about Mike Guy. Mike Guy.
I think this is your bathroom guy. Listen to the acoustics.
Yeah, you're right.
This is your star player.
I think so.
It's your guy.
Oh, man.
Come on, Mark.
This is your Troy Aikman, Mike.
My
starting QB. That's my guy. That's yeah, your guy. Signature. Started out with a little more of a falsetto than the last time.
Who's your guy? Number one draft pick. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, this is Sam Huff.
They're all calling
now. Hi, Sam.
How you doing, Don?
What's happening? Hey, everybody, it's Hall of Fame football player Sam Huff.
The greatest linebacker in the NFL.
Oh, fantastic.
Hi,
how you been, Sam?
Oh, I've been great. How about you guys?
Just fine. Sam, you hear about that truck that turned over on the Beltway yesterday with 40 pounds of gunpowder?
Yeah, I heard there was a baby born in that thing. I tell you what, that's sure a great pass that lady made to her husband.
Yeah, did you hear that? Really, a lady had a baby in that 20-mile backup yesterday. What about that truck, Sam?
Guess it came up when the shoe ended.
He doesn't hesitate anymore.
We trained him.
We trained him okay.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. And every time we take calls, it ends up being like a theme. We can't just take calls. It's got to be everybody's thing.
People are dying to entertain us.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello?
Hello? What's up, Don? What's up, Mike?
Hey.
It's Philly, man.
Hey, Philly.
What's up?
Philly, keeping it real.
Yeah, dog. Hey, I was just traveling around, and I just wanted to call y'all. Hey, guess what I just saw?
What, Phil?
Something about Murray.
You just saw that movie just now? A little late on that, Phil.
Phil, it took you an awful long time to see that movie, but it was worth it, right?
Was it?
You know, there's no brothers, though, in Something About Mary.
Yeah, there's the father of Mary.
Oh, that's right. That's
yeah,
that's
oh, great. Sex.
The guy with a big afro. Right.
I'm just effing with you.
What killed me was when he was inviting everybody to come into the, man, honey, you got his Marky Pose?
Yeah.
Invite her in there, she coming in. Oh, Jesus Christ, mother of age.
Yeah, and then the fireman comes in. I mean, that was a great scene.
No, but why the policeman say, okay, boy, this is not going to hurt a minute. Just one, two, three. Oh, man.
You know what I finally figured out that Philly sounds like?
Who's that?
Sounds like Tone Loc.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the wild thing.
Yeah, right, and Funky Comadina. He's
Funky
in that movie.
Funky Comadina.
You ever seen the movie Lost in Space?
Mm-hmm.
It's got the guy who's the dummy on Friends.
Right.
And he's like a fighter pilot.
He's an Ace Ventura, too.
And right. Right at the beginning of the movie, he and the guy from Friends are floating around in space in these like big bubbles. And they get shot down, and the guy from Friends saves Tone Loc.
Let's do it.
Yeah, and he says, Hey, Don, I'm in some trouble over here.
We need some more Tone Loc music. I like Tone Loc.
Man, I fell asleep on that Lost in Space, but I kind of know what you're talking about. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? And I've been trying to make the... Oh, you remember the last show y'all had, the live show?
Yeah.
That was out here in Maryland, Virginia somewhere, and y'all had to cancel it or something.
Yeah.
Man, I was on my way out that jump, man. All of a sudden, man, they heard me like that. And I said, what?
Phil. Talk white, please.
Talk white, Phil, please. We're having trouble understanding you.
Well, I was on my way trying to make it out there to you then. Rendezvous with you, sure to speak, and I got distracted on the way when you, man, you know what I'm saying? I got out there, Jonathan, I was like...
He was only doing it for a little bit. How did you not make it to the show, Phil?
Because y'all had to cancel it. They told me, they said, we are not going to have that out here today. What, you know, the show y'all was going to have, so I'm on my way. I had to make a U-turn.
I don't know. What show is that? We haven't had to cancel the show, Phil.
Y'all had a show out here in Merlin's. Oh, no. I meant the outside thing that y'all had outside the studio.
Oh, you mean with the mud jump?
Yeah, the mud jump.
Oh, okay. Now I understand. All right. Finally, the great communicator.
Okay.
Well, I tried to make it out there, and you canceled on me, buddy. Come
right.
on.
Right.
Well, you know. Jesus Christ.
You know, the authorities want to shut us down. Phil, we got to go. Keep it real.
Yeah, y'all keep it real up in the field, all right?
Okay, keep it real.
Peace.
Hey, yo, yo, yo.
Yo, yo, yo.
Yo, yo, yo.
I'm out.
Out. He's out like Cliff Stout.
That's Phil Lee.
Yo, yo, yo.
Yo, yo, yo.
More shit.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You like good phone there? Yes, I do. I'm a big fan.
Pop the magic dragon.
It's a great song.
Yeah, one of my favorites.
Who would have thought it wasn't really about a dragon, huh?
What do you mean?
You know, the whole drug thing.
No, I don't know. Why don't you tell me?
Some people think that to pop the magic dragon means they're really to smoke a marijuana cigarette.
Puff's just the name of the boy's magical dragon.
Right.
Are you a pothead, Parker?
No. No. What? No, 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 Jack. No, I'm not. I pass on grass all the time. I mean, not all the time.
Yes or no, grass?
No. Yes. No.
The Don and Mike Show. Broadcasting live from downtown Dumbass. The Don and Mike Show.
Welcome back to the best of Don and Mike. Coming to you coast to coast via Westwood One Radio Network. And don't forget that Puff's just the name of the boy's magical dragon. I'm your host, Joe Artinger. Pleased to be with you this afternoon. Now getting back into the best of Don and Mike. I don't know if Don's calling Brother Jim, but this is about Don's brother Jim. It's the best of Don and Mike.
How many times over the last 3 or 4 months have people called? Every once in a while we get that caller and say, whatever happened to your brother?
Right. Oh, Jim.
Gotta find out now.
Jim is, when last we talked to him, he was kind of doing the long-haul trucking experience.
Remember I hooked him up with the Daytona 500 and then we never heard from him again?
He was supposed to call him with a report the Monday morning after the Daytona 500.
Right, he just went and had a good time and never bothered to call.
He's a free spirit. That's what most independent long-haul truckers are, you know? It's them, it's their rig, and it's the road.
The road. The last time I spoke to him, I think it was last weekend, talking about working for yet another trucking company.
Good.
And I think he was talking about like getting a newer truck or something. Like, I don't understand. He's always looking for a better deal because he gets paid by the mile. These truckers get paid so much per mile that they haul stuff.
That's right. And also, unfortunately, they get paid by the time, too. And the quicker they get it there, they get a bonus or something like that.
But you know, now my brother's telling me they got something in the truck that monitors his speed.
GPS.
Mm-hmm. And tells the people that... Oh, come on, I can't get through here.
My satellite.
And tells the people that own the trucking company how fast he's going. So, like, he gets in trouble if he speeds to get his load there faster.
Yeah, and they can also tell where he is anywhere in the United States. Precisely where he is.
Whether the truck is moving or not, they can pinpoint it.
Yeah.
What were you doing at the Mustang Ranch?
Well, turn that music down, please. Is this our phone screwing up?
Warning, Will Robinson.
Ah, bingo.
Took Got a while it. Because his phone is made of wood.
Oh, no.
The carrier you have selected is unable to
Too many people. It's this population explosion.
You know, we've got like 18 different lines in the studio, and each of the lines has a different long-distance carrier.
That's right.
We were in the middle of having dinner. You know, my wife does this thing all the time where she, like, switches between Sprint and AT&T because if you sign up with Sprint, then AT&T calls you a month later to say, if you sign up with us, we'll send you $100.
If you can handle the paperwork, it's a good way to do it.
She does it all the time, and she constantly has these checks coming in.
Right.
And last night during dinner, a guy called. He says, hello, I'm from Sprint. Are you aware that you've changed from Sprint to AT&T? And I said, yes, I'm aware of that. Thank you. And I hung up. 2 seconds, the phone rings again. Hello, we must have got disconnected. I said, no, we didn't get disconnected. I'm having my dinner now. Thank you. Click, hang up. Bring, bring. Guy calls back again.
Uh-oh.
And then, so I let him have it.
And he's not supposed to do that.
No.
Tonight you can say lambe culo.
Right.
I'm not saying any more things in Spanish.
And we found out Mike said something very bad when he repeated something that the caller said.
Hold yes.
On. Hello? Hold on. I just had him.
Oh, no, did you just hit the button?
Yeah.
That was his hello.
Oh. And it might be the problems on his end, because it sounded like the phone didn't even ring. It sounded like I just heard a hello.
Weird.
Oh, God.
Very difficult to,
It's
tough. I want to find out. You know what I want to really find out about?
What?
The Daytona 500. You know, even though it was like 13 years ago.
All he's told me about is it was cool.
It was cool.
It was cool. All right, now I won't hang up because we're not getting a ring instantly. I'll just stay on. It
takes a long time to,
Because we're calling Wisconsin.
The clogged artery phone state.
Cheese state. I swear to God.
There was one time where we were like, oh. Pretty soon we're just going to yell out the window.
Send him a letter. It'd be faster.
Yeah.
See, it didn't even ring that time.
Well, what's wrong with your phone lines? It's rang four times and nobody answers.
It's rang four times, Mike, and nobody answers.
Well, there you are, Jim. You're on the show finally.
Oh, okay.
All right, everybody. Here is my real-life long-distance truck-driving earth dog redneck cheese-eating, deer-killing, beer-drinking, camouflage-wearing brother. The Kurt Cobain look-alike.
No.
My brother Jimmy.
No, I don't look like Kurt Cobain. Hey, did I tell you I got my hair cut short?
How short?
Short.
How short is short? You used to have it like as long as Jesus Christ.
Up to my collar and above my ears now.
Like flat top?
No.
Did you have to do it for a job or something?
No, I just... No.
Hey, Jim.
What?
How was the Daytona 500?
Yeah, it was okay.
Oh, thanks a lot. Good report.
It was okay. What are you driving now?
Still my Kenworth.
See, I don't know what that is.
It's a big long-haul truck. It's a big 18-wheeler rig.
Yeah.
A Kenworth, and it's got a sleeper compartment, right?
Yeah, they call it a condo.
And it's like the nicest truck you've ever driven, isn't it?
No.
Is this the new one?
It's a nice truck. It's a big condo, big stand-up sleeper and stuff.
Is this the new one you were telling me about?
No, I haven't taken that job yet.
And does this have a shower on board?
No.
Microwave?
No, I could get one, though.
Really? Yeah. Is this, how does this rate as far as trucks go?
Oh, it's just like Camaros. There's a million of them out there, you know, but,
it's just like Camaros, nice, Mike.
It's a nice truck, you know,
like Camaros.
Stand-up sleeper.
What would be, if you had like the dream truck to drive across the country, what would be the finest truck and what would it have in it if you had like the best truck possible?
Oh, it'd probably have to be like a Western Star.
A Western Star.
Constellation series.
Yeah, and what do they have in them?
Oh, man, they got everything.
Toilet?
Yeah, you can get them with toilet. You can get them with refrigerator, microwave.
You know what's the grossest thing I think the truckers have to do? Is like my brother's driving across the country. A lot of times he goes all the way to California from Wisconsin. He has to like stop at truck stops and take showers.
Yeah.
And like open places with other truckers and stuff.
No, they're all private showers.
But you can, you know, and some truckers.
It's gross.
Some truckers actually will, you know, forego the truck stop and actually stop at a real like Motel 6 or something like that.
You don't do that though, right?
No, because they don't pay for it.
That's right. So you if they pay for it, you can do that. But you use the community showers, right?
Well, it's not a community shower. It's a private shower. But
it's a shower that, like, every other dirty truck driver has been using before you.
Yeah, but they clean them after each shower.
Really?
They disinfect them in a whole
bit.
It's clean.
Right. Oh, listen, here's one for you. It'll shock you about my brother. He's dating another woman, and guess what? He's picked another one. He's picked another one out that has, like, 10 kids.
Oh, no, my God.
Every time my brother dates a woman, she's always got kids. She always comes with a ready-made family. How many? Your new girlfriend, how many kids?
Oh, she got three.
Three kids?
She got three.
How many? How old?
Seven, 9, and 11.
Oh, so they're at the upper end of the, you know, at least it's not 5, 4, and 1.
I
don't see her kids that much, though. They're with their dad quite a bit, too.
I was asking him the other weekend when he was telling me. Now, he says that this girlfriend, unlike, remember some of his other girlfriends who were like on tranquilizers,
right?
And,
she's not on any mind altering drugs.
Good, that's a good thing.
I said to him,
it's a plus.
I said to him.
I mean, it's like that Paxil stuff, man. That's the new drug of choice now. You know
what is it?
That Paxil, Wellbutrin, or that Prozac crap. You know,
have you had girlfriends on that before?
Yeah,
of course.
That Sherry was, and that Crystal was, and the bad thing about it was they never told me.
Those are his
You know what's funny?
Those are his two last girlfriends. Crystal was, and what was the one before her?
Terry.
And they both had kids too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, no, it's you know, it's funny because Bob heard me. Bob introduced me to this girl because his wife works with her, and the first thing I asked her, I said, "You taking any prescription drugs?"
Bob is one of my brother's closest friends.
And does she? Who's the celebrity she most resembles to?
Excellent question.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh, really?
And
her
name is Jamie.
And her name is Jamie.
She looks a lot like Jamie Lee Curtis. Huh.
And how did you meet this girl?
Bob's wife works with her.
Really?
Would they hook you up like on a get together date, a blind date or something?
Well, it wasn't a blind date. We went over to Bob's house and played cards one night and met, you know, and hit it off pretty good.
Is she a smoker?
No.
Oh.
How does she stand being around you, Joe Camel?
She says she doesn't mind it.
How many are you down to? You doing this? Still doing two packs a day?
No, about 2.5, 3.
Oh my! Oh,
he's cut down. Man. He's a health nut. How many?
Cut down.
How many defenseless animals have you killed recently?
None since last fall.
He's a big hunter, my brother. Yeah. He likes going out with a bow and arrow.
He's even hunted elk and things like that.
Yeah, right. He was an elk guide for a while.
Right after he worked at the porno bookstore.
You guys got Gander Mountains out there?
Gander Mountains?
What's a Gander Mountain, Jimmy?
It's like an outdoor hunting and fishing and camping store. It's a big chain around the Midwest.
No. I've not heard of them, Jimmy.
You know, it's like Carbella's.
Nope.
Never heard of that either.
Really?
Really.
Right.
So let me ask you, what's your feelings on the new Star Wars?
I don't know.
Were you?
I'm not really into that science fiction stuff.
So you weren't into
I
it?
Take it or leave it.
You weren't into it the first time it came out.
No, I've been listening to Chicago radio this week, and you know they got lines going around the theater for two blocks long. You know, and I don't know. That's just kind of goofy to me.
I like the mysticism.
Right. What's the last good movie that you saw?
I don't know.
What's the last really good thing you saw on television that you really enjoyed, that really amused you?
But not a truck pull or something like that.
I don't know. I haven't really been home that much to watch TV or movies.
Wow.
What's the last good video game you played?
Gran Turismo.
Gran Turismo.
That's a driving game for PlayStation, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. That's an awesome game.
And what's the last great book? No, forget it.
No, go ahead and ask
him. Forget that.
No, really. I'm serious. What's the last book you read?
I don't know. It was probably back in 1981.
Do you remember what it might have been?
I think it was a war book.
A war book.
And what are your feelings on the war in Kosovo?
I think it's crazy.
In what way?
I don't know. I don't think we should be there. I think we should just keep our nose out of it all. Just worry about our country, you know?
Yeah, that's good. An isolationist viewpoint.
You know, but I don't know. I don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
What are you hauling right now when you drive across the country? What's your load?
This week I've been hauling a lot of shingles.
Oh, that's gotta be itchy.
No, it's, you know, I don't have to touch it or nothing. It goes on the back of the flatbed, and I just throw a strap over.
Oh, those kind of shingles.
And where are you driving to?
This week, it's just been around Wisconsin and Illinois.
What's far? You've been out to Denver and out to California, too, right?
Yeah, I was out to California about two or three weeks ago.
Jim, you drive all over the state. What is the most beautiful town in Wisconsin, in your opinion?
The most beautiful town?
Yes.
Jeez, I'd probably have to say Rice Lake.
Rice Lake,
Rice Lake.
Oh,
and yeah. What's the ugliest town in Wisconsin?
Probably Milwaukee.
Really?
There you go.
Yeah. What's wrong with Milwaukee?
Milwaukee's a dump. You know, if you drive 94 up through Milwaukee, you can really see it, you know, during the daytime. It's a dump.
Your girlfriend, your new girlfriend now with the kids, is she from Wisconsin?
Yeah.
She from Rice Lake or Milwaukee?
No, she's from Janesville.
Janesville
is a pigsty also, man.
Really? No, it's not.
Janesville is Beloit, one step above Beloit, which is the biggest pigsty in all of Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's not a pigsty, but, you know, yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
So what are you doing this weekend?
Just gonna probably, I don't know, I was thinking about going camping because I'll be home tomorrow night.
He's such a mountain man.
Yes, I got Rachel this weekend, so I was thinking about maybe taking her camping.
And when you go camping, I mean, do you have a tent or you just sleep outside or what?
Yeah, I got a tent. I got two different tents.
And you just set up the whole tent and you cook on the open fire and all that?
That's right.
Oh, that's fun.
You kill any animals and eat them?
No, we go fishing. You know, if we catch some fish, we'll fry them up, but, you know, it's not hunting season.
How's your motorbike?
I sold it.
Shocker. Why'd you do that?
Needed a different vehicle.
What about your remote-controlled dune buggy or whatever that thing is that you're crazy for?
Oh, I'm into the boats.
Remote-controlled boats.
Yeah.
Will you take the remote-controlled boats camping?
No. In the summer, I'll go down to Rockford, and a bunch of us get together on Sundays and run them and race them around and stuff.
When you go camping, what do you do if it rains?
I don't know.
Good answer.
Depends on who I'm with.
You do get honesty when you talk to my brother.
Yes, you do.
You do get 100% honesty.
Wow.
And, all right, Jimmy. Well, listen, any parting words of wisdom? Because, you know, I think since the last time you were on the show, we've upped our listenership. We got 5 million listeners now.
Oh, wow.
So there are 5 million people at any given time listening to you. What might your words of wisdom be?
I don't know. I just have fun.
Have fun.
Have fun.
Good advice.
Have fun.
What a lovely piece of advice.
Have fun. Well, all right, you dumb.
Oh, okay, you Ron.
You damn dummy. You know, and I think that's the last time that my brother was on the show when we discussed the damn dummy situation.
Yeah, we were talking about that.
Moron, dumb, and damn dummy. And now that we have Jim on the phone, it came out damn dummy or dumb or something like that came from Jim.
Yeah.
Were there any other ones that your parents used on you guys?
I think we mentioned the only other one I can remember is my dad used to call him Phil the Bad Pill.
Phil the Bad Pill.
Because my brother's middle name is Philip.
They used to call him the Moose.
Call who the moose?
Me.
They called you the moose?
The moose.
The moose.
The moose. Where's the moose? He's downstairs with a damn dummy. Wonderful family we had.
Yeah.
All right, well, Jimmy, I love you, and I will talk to you probably this weekend.
All right, you going to call me or what?
Yeah, I'll call you.
Yeah, you said that a month ago.
I'm busy.
Well?
All right, I'll call you.
Give me a 2-minute phone call, bud.
Okay, bud.
All right.
All right, man.
See you guys
later. Bye-bye.
Bye, Jim.
Bye-bye.
And a big cough as he was hanging up. Hey, he's up.
Yeah.
He is in a good period in his life. He is way up there, and I like it when he sounds like that.
Yeah.
That's great.
Because we've had him when he's been kind of down on his luck before.
Come on, honey. Get up. Come on. We're going to Janesville. Hey, I like, you know, I
respect.
He's
real, man. He's 100% real.
I respect your brother for doing that, and I wish everybody would have that attitude.
Mm-hmm. My brother reminds me of a lot of the callers to this show.
He's a good guy.
He truly does. Oh, I love him. Are you kidding?
He's actually, you can tell, I mean, he wears his heart on his sleeve just like you do, and you can tell when he is up or when he is down, and he is obviously up.
Yeah, he's happy now. His business is going good.
Right. Yep. dating a girl.
Hey, it sounds to me
things are okay.
He's got the right woman. I mean, he's got a woman who's settling him down a little bit.
No Prozac.
Right.
Life's good. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike. How's it going?
Hello.
Hi, how's it going?
Listen, can you gauge how it's going by listening to us on the radio?
What happened was you guys just did that thing before you get on the air. There was no screen.
No, hold on a second. Just bear with me, because nothing pisses me off more than listening to 20 people on a roll call go, "Hey, Don and Mike, how you doing? How's it going? Well, how are you?" I was doing fine until everybody has to ask us how we're doing. How's it going? Okay. Can't you gauge how we're doing by listening to the show?
Okay, well, I just, you know.
You understand? I'm just trying to move the conversation along. That's all.
It's a series of events that usually leads up to a particular mood. And due to the phone calls we received during this segment, that mood, it would not best be described at this particular moment as elevated.
It can change, though.
It can change at the drop of a hat.
Okay, what?
Yeah, well, I just turned on the radio and I just phoned you. I am sorry. I should have been listening.
See, and what it is with you, it's just a question of bad luck, because you just happen to be the last guy that said, "How you doing?" after the previous three guys said, "How's it going?" Hi, and a couple of those callers not only said, "How you doing?" but they said, "How's it going?" and then, "What are you doing?"
Okay, I am sorry.
You understand.
We're doing fine. Mm-hmm. It's going great.
Yeah, I understand.
We're doing our jobs. We're fulfilling our 7-year contract with CBS. We are a step away from mass suicide.
Oh, well, I don't want you to kill yourselves.
You know, and this very phone call, this exchange here, mm-hmm. is the reason why I think the calls on this show are better than any show in the country.
It's true.
Because you won't get that anywhere else. You won't get that. You'll get, "I've been a long time listener." Yeah, I said, but you won't get.
Long time listener, first time caller.
Right.
Love the show. Hey, it's Bob from Sacramento.
That's
driving
right.
down the 305 right now. Want to say, I had some thoughts about this Kosovo situation. Please, what a bunch of crap.
No, you'll get a guy calling, you know, just calling from his car, calling from his house, that'll be lectured for a good 5 minutes on the fact that he shouldn't say, "How you doing?"
Okay, now, you know how we're doing.
There we go, we've established.
Okay.
Very exasperated right now.
Okay, this might exasperate you. It's about Canada. There was a thing in the Toronto Star, and there was a poll. A Canadian company went down to the United States, and they asked Americans about how they felt about Canada. And they said that, you know, Canada was ranked the hottest at 72 degrees by Americans.
Let me just stop you here to say that Canada is like USA light. Okay.
Oh, what is that 72 degrees thing? I'm confused.
Okay, well, what happens is, like, if you have a warm feeling towards a country, you give it a temperature higher than 50 degrees Fahrenheit.
What kind of a stupid poll was this?
Poll done by a Canadian company.
Canadians are stupid. It's a stupid country.
So as far as the warmth that Americans feel towards Canada is a higher temperature than they feel towards any other country, is that what your point is?
Yeah. No, I get the feeling that...
No, is it yes or no? You say yes, no.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yes, thank you.
I get the feeling that... Mike has better feelings for Canada than Don. Don seems...
Oh, you're very perceptive. I've said on this show like 1,000 times that I hate Canada.
Oh, I know. You hate, like, Celine Dion and a couple other people.
Yes, I do.
You know something? I am Canadian, and I feel the same.
Well, I hate you too, then.
Oh, okay.
Please. You're Canadian. You're an awful caller. You can't string a sentence together.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I'd like to say I love all my Canadian friends, and there are many Canadian friends I have. But unfortunately, based on this phone call, and, you know, it was fine up until you said, yeah, no. And at that very moment, you can't make it into the friend column.
No, I just want...
You're misrepresenting all of the fine Canadians.
Oh, sure, like Gordon Lightfoot, Ann Murray, Brian Adams, Alex Trebek.
Alex Trebek, a great game show host.
You're very hard to talk to.
Paul Schaefer. No, I'm easy to talk to. I'll get a dialogue
Michael
going.
Michael J. Fox.
You're very...
Rick Moranis.
Listen, I'll get a dialogue going with someone if I have the feeling that that person can carry their half of the conversation.
But you seem to, like...
Let me tell you something right now. Based on hundreds of thousands of conversations with Dennis Murphy, the yeah, no answer is my least favorite answer
show. Okay,
you know, like, ask me a question.
Well, I was just going to state something, then I was going to go...
Yeah, no.
Okay, yeah, no.
Right, okay.
I was going to go to state that Britain was at second with a temperature of 69
degrees. Listen, can I tell you something? This is a stupid poll that, frankly, we don't care about.
Well, I just thought it was trivia just to get away from, you know, what you...
I like the mysticism. To get away from what?
Well, you just seem that you're very pissed off with everybody.
No. I'm pissed off at you.
okay. I usually don't do that to people.
I find that hard to believe.
Yeah. Come on. Now, the whole thing here is honesty. Well, let's be honest.
Guys, you're coming from a position of power.
You've annoyed people at work and at home.
Oh, no, no.
Oh, you're hated by many.
I don't think so.
Let's be honest. You've really, and I'm going to say the work environment. Have you ever really, you know, just ticked off somebody at work because maybe you just said one too many words to them?
Oh, no, never.
Oh, I find that hard to believe. Then they're lying to you.
I don't know about it. But anyway, I just thought, like, just a little bit of trivia, other than, you know, hey, Don and Mike, blah, blah, blah.
Well, wait, hold up. You started this call by going, hey, Don and Mike, blah, blah, blah.
Well, yeah, I guess okay.
Okay.
You know what would save this call? If you shared with us that one experience where you really made somebody angry, that would really save this phone
call. Okay, there was once.
There you go! Of course there was once. Tell us about it.
Okay, it wasn't anything to do with work. It was like, I reside in Las Vegas, and I was going down the interstate, and this gentleman in a Mercedes tried to yield in front of me, like come in from like a turnoff, like he was coming onto the expressway.
Yeah.
And, oh, come on. No,
you're lying.
I don't doubt that you've been in traffic altercations.
Yeah, we were looking for something else.
No, I have.
We were looking for something that you, like someone close to you or some coworker, where you said something that set them off.
No.
Never happened.
Like perhaps your parents?
Well, what about my parents?
Parents? A pastor, perhaps?
A pastor.
Oh, I did. Yes, I did piss off one pastor.
Really? You angered a holy man?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I did.
We still don't believe you. That you pissed off thousands of people in your lifetime.
I don't think I've come across that many people.
Have you ever got the impression, perhaps, you know, being that maybe you're not all that sensitive to these situations, but did you ever have the impression walking away from a conversation that maybe, you know, that person might have been annoyed at me?
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah. We see them later in the hall and they downcast their eyes.
A lot of times you walk into a room and the conversation stops.
I've stopped a few conversations.
We're getting somewhere with you.
Making some wonderful.
I usually rebound from it and say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
Good. It probably sticks in their craw forever. You wouldn't be the proper judge of that. They would be the ones.
Because obviously you have no idea of knowing how annoying you really are. And thank God we were here to point that out.
Mm-hmm. I really feel we've done some good today.
Good help, sir.
Right.
I really feel we have done an enormous amount of good for our new Canadian friend.
Well, yeah, I guess so.
Right, okay, friend made.
Can I call back again? Or
no, never call back.
Okay, gentlemen, it was fun talking.
Fun for us, too.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, how you doing?
I am doing great.
Okay, all right, thank you.
All right, goodbye. That guy, Jesus.
That's Excedrin headache number one right there.
that was a full journey, that phone call.
We got a break. We'll be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, be careful with that. That's the most powerful trank gun on the market.
Huh, got her in Mexico.
Cool.
Yeah, it is cool. They say it can puncture the skin of a rhino from a...
Ow!
Yes! That's awesome! What? You just took one in the jugular, man! Whoa! Yes! Is this bad? You should pull that out.
Wait. Pull what out?
The dart, man. Got a dart in your neck.
You're crazy, man. You're crazy. I like you. But you're crazy. I'm so tired.
The Don and Mike Show. Ready to pick you up and shake you in a figure eight. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
That's right.
I feel tired. I like you.
And I do like you. For listening to the best of Don and Mike on the Westwood One Radio Network. Coast to coast and nationwide. I'm your host, Joe Ardinger, and let's see, what do we got coming up here? Ooh, Valerie Harper. Is she dead or alive? Well, it doesn't matter. The stars always come alive for the best of Don and Mike. Valerie?
Hiya, Don, Mike. How are you guys?
Valerie.
Gentlemen,
how are you?
We keep meeting like this, my love.
Of course, it's Valerie Harper.
How you doing?
Valerie Harper, you know, Rhoda Morgenstern, everybody. She's been on the show a couple of times. We really
sure
do
have,
love her.
And I have fun every time.
We sure do love Valerie Harper. Only wish that you were here so we could eyeball you again.
That's right, and you smelled real good the last time you were here, too.
Yeah, that's right. I have cologne from my husband.
That's right.
You always got to mention him, don't you?
You know, you just do. You always the husband with you.
Well,
right at the beginning.
All right, let me ask you some questions, Valerie, and then we have a proposition for you.
Sure.
Here's the first question. When you were on last time and the time before that, you told us about this idea that you and Mary have for making the show about Mary and Rhoda now and where they would be now.
That's right.
And I told you, with no offense, because
I
love you, I really do. I said, don't do it.
He said, don't do it because it would be disappointing.
Right here, I'm looking at the press release that they gave us. You know, like we don't have enough stuff to talk to Valerie Harper about. They gave us copy points. And the number one point is Mary and Rhoda, the TV update. Is it a reality or a myth? Well, according to Mary Tyler Moore, ABC is on board, and a TV movie is right around the corner. Is that true?
That's true.
Okay, so has this gone from being what was thought of initially as a series
to a TV movie now? Yeah, that's
correct. Our TV movie's cool.
Well, the thing is, I'll tell you, a long time ago, I hate to bring this person up again because you both get nervous and jerky, but my husband...
Husband!
Oh! Husband Tony said 2 years ago, why don't you do a movie? And Mary and others, myself included, said, no, we'll do the series. And then the series kind of went along the idea. ABC got cold feet. Now, the same ABC is very hot to do a movie. Why? Because it's a safer investment.
Well, and it'll be a big
number. They get
their
money back, and then Mary and I get to see if we want to continue.
Oh, okay.
So in a way, it's a backdoor pilot. Do you know what I'm saying?
Really?
It might turn into a series.
Well, listen,
that's not why you do it. We're doing it as a television movie, and that's that.
It's going to be
two women with, the same characters.
Are you going to be private detectives now?
No. I don't know. I haven't seen the script.
I'll give my blessing to that.
Track, and it's got to be a very fast track because November and December, I will be in Florida doing All Under Heaven, which I premiered in Lynchburg, Virginia.
Now, what is that?
That's a one-woman show on Pearl S. Buck. And then I may be taking it to China as
well. The Good Earth, right?
The Good Earth, yeah, great.
How about that, huh?
Meantime,
hey, how about that? It's one book I read in school that I remember.
Hey, Valerie, what does Providence mean?
What does Providence mean?
Yeah.
You mean... Well, you mean God, overhanging...
No, like if somebody says to you, you know, geez, it was really providential that you and Mary got together.
Kind of an umbrella of care and a good possibility.
Yes.
Okay. She got it.
Well, Providence used to be called God.
Mm-hmm. That's
nothing
correct.
Related to God.
Right. Okay.
I didn't know that. My wife went to see Tony Bennett the other night, and I said, how was it? Because she had lawn seats, and she said, oh, it was so Providence that we got there and
it was Providence that she said.
No,
that.
Well, she's not using the word correctly.
Right.
But that's okay. She's in the ballpark.
Right. Well, I wasn't in the ballpark because I said to her, I swear to God, it's Providence.
I'm in New York unveiling a billboard. Do you guys know about that?
You're unveiling a billboard? For what?
A billboard. I'm not here now. Thursday, I'm going to unveil a billboard.
What's it, Joe Camel?
New face of menopause. I know you're both very concerned with it.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on.
Wait a minute. I walked over you there, Valerie. Say it again.
What is the new face of menopause?
New face of menopause.
Oh, please.
It's no longer
Ann Ramsey?
No. Presented by Healthy Woman. Soy menopause supplement. It's a wonderful new... soy tablet that alleviates, helps relieve hot flashes.
Now, have you?
And I'm on there with people you know. Mary Wilson of The Supremes and Joy Behar of The View.
Oh,
Susie Chaffee, Janet Peckinpah, who's an anchor, news anchor woman.
You must be a doctor. You must have just a swimming pool full of money with all these sponsors that you have.
No, not exactly. But
come on.
I have a daughter to put through college.
Now, come on. You do the potato chips. You do the one woman show.
Yeah, they're delicious. And I'm doing this because I've used it for several months, and it's fabulous.
So you have menopause.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
I'm at the other end of it, though. I mean, you know, I'm pretty well through it. But I still have, you know, and the idea is to stop whispering about it, the change and all that stuff. Women who have menopause in the 40s, if they live to be 80, that means half their life is ahead of them. So it's...
just going to let her talk for a minute about this.
Not the end.
And then we'll ask her about Regis.
The beginning of a new chapter, and if they can have... It's an option.
Damn, she can talk, can't she? She can go on.
That produced Monistat. For 20
she's so much better in person, but you can give her like signs, like you know, shut up.
Very,
make eye contact with her and stuff.
Effective, natural, over the counter. You buy it at any store, anywhere. I mean, you know, where you get your groceries, drugstores, and women. And it's going to be unveiled, and I'm launching the campaign. These other women are on the billboard with me.
I'll tell you something. If I'm selling anything, I'm calling Valerie Harper.
No, but
I'm not saying because you're just not because
I am
you'll
sharing this because it works for me. And it's much bigger than the product.
Okay, this...
I want to blast this menopausal chain out of the water.
Valerie, are you going to be on Regis tomorrow?
I'm sorry?
Are you going to be on the Regis show tomorrow?
Yes, I am.
Okay, listen, here's what we'd like...
What do you want me to do?
Proposition for you.
Okay. I promise we'll let you talk for a goddamn half hour about menopause and about your Marion wrote a movie and about your Pearl Buck show.
And the chips. Wow. It's wow, right?
No, whatever. Yeah.
Here's all you got to do. Tomorrow when you go on the Regis show, you just got to say at some point, and listen, Regis, I just want to say hi to my friends Don and Mike. That's all you have to do. You don't have to say we're disc jockeys. You don't have to say you were on our radio show. You just got to just say, Regis, and, you know, leave Kathy out of it. Just say Regis.
I can't do that.
Okay, well, you can say to both of them. Regis, Kathy, I just want to say hi to my friends Don and Mike. Great being on the show. Now, how about, are you up for this?
I can work it in.
If you can work it in.
If I can, but I don't want to take a half hour of your show. You'll lose your listeners.
I promise you. Well, you're right. We would.
Half an hour.
We would.
Anybody.
Let's make it a 5-minute commercial.
President Clinton.
A 5-minute commercial.
I'll give you a 5-minute commercial.
Anything you want to talk about.
Really, uninterrupted.
Go ahead. It's your.
But you see, that's not a great deal because I get that anyway from you guys. You've been more than generous.
Yes, we have. So you really should just do it for us for Smith.
Suddenly, payola moves. I tell you this. I will attempt to work it into the conversation.
Okay, now hold on.
Can I say, healthy woman? Hello to Don and Mike.
Of course.
Menopause supplement.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, absolutely.
The new face of menopause, Don and Mike.
The new face of menopause, Don and Mike.
We'd accept it.
Absolutely.
Just listen. I'm serious. Don't forget about us. don't forget about us because when you're on that show,
right,
you can say anything you want to.
Yes.
So please?
Well, yes, if I remember.
Okay.
I want to keep all my ducks in order. I have things to do. This is very funny.
Write yourself a note right now.
We'll post it. No, put it right on your forehead.
I will make a note.
Say hi.
No telling.
To Don and Mike. Okay, now really, come on, don't bull us, please. What are the odds that you'll say hi to us?
Yeah, give us some odds, you know, like in Dumb and Dumber.
I am not a gambling woman.
Oh, you don't do odds?
I can't.
Was it 50-50?
Say that I can promise to mention your names.
90-10?
Valerie, I could promise you that I'd say your name. I mean, even if I was you.
Regis and Kathy Lee?
Yes.
No, of course.
I would expect you to go on and do what you needed to do.
No. If I knew that you were a struggling actress, and that could be your...
You guys are highly successful.
Please,
talking.
No, we're struggling. We're
lucky
struggling
to be here. Yeah, you know, Valerie, you must know, and we say this all the time, we are below circus clowns on the show business pecking order. You know that.
Give me the table,
you
Regis.
You are not.
Yes, we are.
I
yes.
not have my friends spoken about...
No, we suck.
...that even by themselves.
No, we're awful.
I will not have it.
Now, I'm going to play you a tape of when Regis used to be on our show, and Regis used to say hello to us.
Did he really?
We used to bribe him the same way. Listen, here he is at the beginning of his show.
Okay.
He wants to talk about totes, boots, but he works our name.
You know, hey, can I tell you something?
Yes.
The real reason we want you to do this is because we are such gigantic fans of Regis and Kathy Lee. We think, really, we are mega fans, and they know
love
this.
Love them.
And we just, you know, we just always like them to know that we're out there.
All right, so here's Regis talking about us. Listen to this.
All right, I just called two disc jockeys in Washington, D.C., Don and Mike, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara. And it is snowing like crazy in Washington. That means it usually comes up the coast to us.
They're saying by tomorrow.
Well, it looked like snow today, and I said, you know, I better check the weather. So I checked the weather, and the guy said, cold and cloudy. So I did not take my totes.
See, and then he starts getting off on our rant.
But we loved it. We loved what he did. We really loved it.
So it's not like we are foreign to Regis and Kathy Lee.
No, we're huge. We're really, I think, their biggest fans.
Understood.
And so it would mean a lot.
It'd probably delight them.
If you would just throw it in,
you know, even if you got to say menopause, Don and Mike, that's fine.
So do the best you can. That's all we can ask.
Please. And
do
listen,
the best I can.
Feel no pressure that we will be sitting an inch away from the television tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock on Channel 5 watching you.
Right.
And
yes,
we will be praying.
Don't intimidate easy. You're better off doing the pity vote rather than the threat.
We
that's not a threat.
You're better off going, please.
We love you so much, Valerie.
Valerie,
and we're so
that healthy woman.
We're
Valerie,
so pathetic.
Valerie, don't you understand that that was pity? That's not intimidation.
Well, I thought it was a threat.
No, I'm telling you. Don't you understand how pitiful we are? We will be sitting in front of the TV.
And the only thing that's going to happen if you don't mention our names will be tears, Valerie. Tears streaming down both of our oversized cheeks.
Please, and we promise that we will talk about your menopause. We will talk about
your potato
chips.
My menopause is women easing theirs. Hot flashes reduced.
So you don't get hot flashes if you take that product.
Well, it's soy. Asian women do not have the same kind of bad experience with menopause than women in the West. And it's because of the high level of soy intake.
No menopause for me. I get no menopause.
Now you're doing strange accents.
Oh, no. Not
me. Politically correct police
that
will get you.
I would never do that.
That was some CB interference.
Also, soy has got a long history of being really dietarily very sound for many things. But they have discussed.
Did she go on like this the last time we had her on?
Yes.
A great effect from
about the potato chips.
So they made these little tablets, and they're in a keep track calendar pack.
La la la.
It's got Monday, Tuesday,
la,
Wednesday.
La, la.
You pop.
You can't hear my voice.
On the day.
La la la.
Good.
All right, Valerie.
Yes, darling.
You're beautiful. We do love you. Please don't make the mistake of turning the Rhoda Mary Show into a weekly show, but
no,
I'm on for the TV
I
movie.
I know what you're saying. I really thought of you. I remembered.
I think the TV movie.
I remembered our interview, and I remembered your advice, and you say leave it alone. It's a classic.
The TV movie will set a ratings record. Right. It will. It will
probably
be a wonderful. And that's the way to do it.
Yeah, right. That's what my husband had thought of. There he is again.
There he is again.
TC, Tony Cacciatti, rearing his ugly head.
Tony Cacciatti!
Exactly.
Good luck.
I am attracted to men of your ilk.
Good luck with your Pearl Buck play.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Yeah, we might be going to China. We're casting around for going to get a corporate sponsor so that we can do the play there and also visit her birthplace. I mean, not her birthplace, where she lives. She was actually born in West Virginia.
And good luck
not
with
so
your...
far from you guys.
Good luck with your menopause.
Good luck
please,
with all our menopause.
Please,
anyway,
please,
darling,
tomorrow...
I know that I'll get your names in.
Regis, Don and Mike,
do,
that's it. If you
if
do
I
that,
do,
you're the queen. You're the queen, baby.
If you do that, we will set up a shrine for you in the studio.
Well, if I don't, can I send you a card or some flowers?
Mm, if you don't, you better not call again.
That's a threat.
She doesn't like the threat.
Not a threat.
She likes pity.
I know it's not
you
a
can
threat.
Come on this show anytime.
Anytime you want.
All right, darling.
It would mean a lot to us, please.
It's cute.
Please.
And I enjoyed hearing Regis talking about you.
Yes.
Why don't you just keep playing that?
No.
Play that every
come on.
Day.
Valerie, you're a big star. It will mean nothing tomorrow. In the middle of the interview, just say, I just want to say hi to Don and Mike. You know what they'll say? They'll go, hey, that's great.
Fantastic. How about the menopause?
But wait a minute. What if Don and Mike, he'll say, who are they?
No, he won't.
Oh, well,
I promise you he won't.
Yeah, he will. Because
listen.
That opens up that ball of wax.
No. I want to say, you've been on these shows enough, and I watch them enough to tell you, they don't listen to what you say.
Yes,
right.
They do.
No, they don't.
You just say, I want to say hi to my friends Don and Mike. And another thing, Regis. And another thing,
cannot promise I'm going to do it.
That's you're a very honest
Let
lady.
Let me see if it comes up.
Please
and
do.
I can't
okay.
say yes, I'll do it.
Won't, but it won't come up.
Work.
It won't come up unless you bring it up. It's not
That's
like correct. Regis is going to say to you, hey.
It'll only come up, I can't ruin their show.
Oh,
now you're killing me now.
No, now we play the sappy music.
Now you're
so wounded.
Oh.
You're so hurt now.
Oh, I am weeping now.
Oh, so sad.
Well, they might think you're a car dealership, darlings, unless I say.
Oh, yeah, Donna, my car dealership. So
that's
work.
Listen, whatever. Just please say it. And Valerie, we love you. Thank you.
I love you, too.
Good luck with everything.
Thanks
Goodbye.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Bye-bye.
Okay, no promises, but I love you back.
Right.
Bye.
Okay.
All right, that's her last appearance on the show. I guarantee it, man.
She couldn't have made it clearer that she's not going to do anything. Hey, she gets, I'm sorry, but she gets more credit than the people say. Yeah. I'll mention it. We've had that done, too. Yeah, I'll mention it, and then they never mention it.
Christ, she's a salesperson, doesn't she?
She doesn't want to ruin their show.
Yeah. Right. Because God forbid he would ask who we are, and then she'd have to stop talking about menopause and potato chips and Pearl Buck for 30 seconds. All right. Thank you, Valerie Harper.
Valerie Harper.
Valerie Harper.
And Tony Cacciatore.
We'll be back with more in a moment.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What do you think of my spread, huh? Can you believe it? They used to test H-bombs on this beautiful piece of property.
Eddie, don't you worry about radiation.
All I know, Clark, is that my teeth have never been whiter and my garden is spitting out 50-pound tomatoes.
The Don and Mike Show. Something wacky this way comes. The Don and Mike Show.
And welcome back to the best of Don and Mike on this Thursday afternoon. Coast to Coast via the Westwood One Radio Network. I'm your host, Joe Arninger. Now, in this segment, we have ratings parties from time to time, and some people just sit in the corner and chill, and other people get loaded and go crazy, and that's what this is all about. On the best of Don and Mike.
Now, as for the ratings party last night, wow! Yeah. Not a worse party I've been to in my life, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, I've never partied that hard and had a bad time.
I mean, I had I had a better time at the Blair Witch Project than I had at this party last night.
Wow. Yeah, I wish it sounded like that. Should hear the sound of billiard balls.
One good thing that happened, though, was that, you know, how Frida is always on my ass, that I never bring her to the parties.
Right.
She never gets to come to the party. Well, last night, I invited her. I said, honey, you know, meet me there. Join me. We'll party the night together.
Sure.
Well, she found out firsthand what sucky parties we have.
Oh, man, that was horrible. That was one of the worst of all time.
It was.
And on the way home, her comment to me was, I don't think I'll be coming to another one of your station parties again.
That had so many elements in place to make it a bad party that it just couldn't succeed.
Okay, here's what happened last night. First off, you know, generally, when you're going to have a party, first of all, the party was out of place because the ratings came out 2 weeks ago, and frankly, they're in the rearview mirror.
Yeah, right. The freshness is over. We're already, looking at the next ratings.
Right, so we're having a party for something that happened a couple of weeks ago, and frankly, it's kind of worn off.
Right.
The station, because this is such a cheap station, refuses to just get a restaurant or get a bar somewhere and just close off part of the restaurant or the bar so that the people from the station can socialize.
Right.
Instead, they had the party last night in a big pool hall.
Yeah, a billiards bar. A very nice billiards bar. But
very
it was
upscale place. We had no complaints. The place is a fabulous place.
And the management and the staff there, I do have to say, they did a great job. They did a fantastic. There are no aspersions cast on the restaurant.
We have no complaints with that. It's a great location. It's a great place to celebrate.
Right.
But we're standing there with people that are having their dinner.
Right.
And people that were coming in to play pool on their own.
Sure.
And it was like the people from the station, you would turn your back from talking to somebody and you turn around and there was some guy who you didn't know who would say, are you using that pool table now?
Yeah, we were really, the room was, the side of the room that we were on, that where we had our party, was filled with pool tables. And I actually, you know, if you went around on the other side, there's actually another area that really wasn't being utilized.
Oh, was there really?
That would have been on the right side of the bar. That would have been probably a little bit better. But instead, they had us interspersed among the pool tables. And, of course, everybody, you know, nothing to me says let's socialize and let's chat about our successful station than a bunch of sales guys playing pool.
Well, I spent almost all the time that I had at the party, a couple hours with the salespeople.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an evening of swimming with the sharks.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, I know that a lot of people think that there's backbiting and there's infighting among the people on the programming side of the station.
Sure.
And you're right. But I want to tell you, I have never spent 2 hours with people smaller, more petty, people willing to bite the heads off of anybody that was not standing in the immediate group and talking with us, as I did with the salespeople last night. And I said to Frida on the way home, I can only imagine what they are saying about us.
Oh, sure.
Now that we have left the group.
Absolutely.
Because someone would walk up and everybody would talk to them and go, hey, you're great, congratulations. And as soon as the person would walk away, they'd go, oh, that guy's a son of a bitch. It was
like that.
Without a question.
Yeah.
The cattiest group I've ever been with. For the most part, when we have a social event,
sure,
I hang out with the disc jockeys, you know, or the programming types. Well, because it was so spread out last night.
You were, you know, you made every effort to kind of work the room and talk to everybody that was in the room, as did I, and you're absolutely right. That's what happened.
I ended up spending a lot of time with the salespeople, which I found very interesting, because, you know, you find out all the stuff that you don't really know is going on at the radio station until you talk to the salespeople.
Well, until last night, I don't think I ever accurately gauged the level of unhappiness among the employees here.
Yeah, a lot of our sales staff just hating life here.
They're just, I mean, yeah, they're here, they're existing, they're doing a very good job, they're selling a lot of spots, but, you know, by and large,
they hate life.
It's kill or be killed. It's more dog eat dog than I think I've ever seen before.
I heard the problems with buying a file cabinet. Mm-hmm. I heard the problems with getting parking receipts paid for.
Right.
I saw firsthand the fight over the people who didn't want to pay the bill last night in the restaurant. Where Ken left without paying the bill.
Right.
And Alan was supposed to pay the bill, and Alan tried to push it off on Michelle, and Michelle started screaming at Alan, saying, well, wait, you never paid me for the file cabinet that I bought.
Right.
And David Hainline said, well, I'm not paying it because I had to buy my own fax machine. You guys wouldn't pay me for the fax machine. I'm sitting there watching this going on. I was just blown away by all of this turmoil with the salespeople.
It was a little uncomfortable. It was a little uncomfortable. I don't want to slam anybody here. I really don't. But I'll tell you this.
I do, and I'll tell you about that in a moment.
But last night, you know, people coming up and saying, hey, you guys, congratulations on the ratings. It just seems to me it didn't need to be said. You know what I mean? It really, and every time it was said, I appreciate it. It's very nice. But it didn't feel, maybe it's because it was 2 weeks after the fact.
Yeah, and that's why.
It didn't feel right. You know, it's like, hey, congratulations. So, what?
Well,
you know, I didn't get it.
I want to take just a moment out of our busy broadcast day to salute once again my favorite station employee, Bretta.
Oh, here we go again.
Now, listen. I walked into this joint last night, and I saw Bretta across the room.
Mm-hmm.
And as I have done with Bretta over the last 4 weeks of our feud,
yes,
I was planning on having no contact with her.
Okay.
Okay? Everybody, I think, who listens to the show understands my problems with Bretta. To a small extent, it's the fact that she took my parking place
continually. That's what started it, right?
Okay. But frankly, that's not really it. What really fries my ass about Bretta, and she does this all the time, is when we're playing commercials, and I walk towards the back of the station.
And she's listening to another station.
She's got her boombox cranked on a station that plays records.
Right.
And I've mentioned this before, that is just insulting. That's... You know, you're working at a radio station where we're piped through the station.
Right.
You go walking back by the salespeople, she's listening to another radio station.
I'm not aware, and I haven't been aware for some time, of anybody else that does it here. Right. I mean, I hate to say that.
She's the only one.
Right.
So that's the real reason that I got the bone to pick with Bretta. And frankly, I've enjoyed over the last 4 weeks,
right,
you know, shutting doors in her face and walking down the hall and saying, you know, I got nothing but love for you, Bretta, than turning and walking away.
Yeah, I mean, it's a legitimate, you know, gripe, but it's not the be-all, end-all. And I certainly, you know something...
To Bretta, it has been.
I know, it is. I found that out last night, too. And I my advice to her was just let it go.
Listen, it was the most awkward 10 minutes of my life.
I looked across the room, and I saw your head at a jaunty angle, and then I saw your head kind of shaking back and forth. I said, oh, my, they're going at it again.
Rob and I and Michelle... And Frida, and Alan, and David, we were talking. There's like six people standing around the pool table talking, having some nice conversation.
Right.
Bretta came up. She gets her face right in my face.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I've been avoiding her all night like the plague.
Mm-hmm.
She comes up, and right away she says, hi, Don, how are you? I said, I'm fine, Bretta. And at that point, she just started to stare at me. Right, yep. Rob?
There were so many instances where she should have just walked away.
I was not looking for a fight with Bretta last night. I swear to God I wasn't.
It's true.
Live and let live.
Trying to avoid her, just saying, listen, I don't care. You know, I'm a little mad at you, but frankly, my world doesn't revolve around the great Bretta.
Right.
But she came up, and she said, hi, how are you? And I said, hi. And there was that awkward moment when it was obvious that I didn't really want to talk to her.
Right.
And I just looked at her. I said, hi, how are you? And then she said, you know, I really do love your show.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, thank you. You know, I was trying to be gracious. I said,
right.
Thanks very much. And again, perfect opportunity for Bretta just to walk away. But she stayed.
And well, then she's tenacious that way.
She says, you know, I sell the S out of your show.
She said that to me also.
And I said, appreciate that. She said, this is where it started. She said, you know, the more you go on like this with me, it's only going to hurt you.
Oh, no, don't say that.
And I said, explain to me how it's going to hurt me. She says, I'm out there selling commercials for your show. I said, Bretta, listen, no offense. How tough is it to sell commercials for the show that's number one in the ratings? I said, it's pretty easy to sell those commercials right now, right? She says, you're only hurting yourself. I said, well, you know what?
Oh, dear God.
I'll live with that. That will be my scarlet letter. I will live with that. She says, I just don't understand it. I know comedy. I love comedy. And I'm just trying to find a smooth way to get out of this.
Well, maybe just running across the room, fleeing in terror might have been the right thing to do.
And again, she won't walk away.
Right.
I said, listen, brother, at one point I actually said to her, why don't you just let this go? Just let it go. I said, you know what? You're enough of a professional. You could sell the show if you don't like me, and I can work here if I don't like you. You know, we can both be professional enough about it. She said, no, you're only hurting yourself. You know, with a big smile on her face.
Right.
I just don't know why you're doing this. I said, Bretta, it's really not a big deal. And then she said, is it about the radio thing? And I said, okay, you want to bring it up? Yes. It's about the fact I find it insulting to walk down the hall and you're listening to HFS while our show is on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, another perfect place where she could have just said, hey, I understand that. You know, we have a difference of opinion and walked away.
Right.
Instead, here's the answer she gives me. She says, well, can I tell you why I do that? And I said, oh, yeah, I'd be curious to know why you're listening to another radio station in our radio station while our show is on the speakers. She says, well, you know, I used to work there at WHFS, and they fired me. I said, really? She said, and I'm so mad at them. I want to get them back so much that I just listen to them all the time.
So that's the reason.
And I looked at her, and I said,
okay.
What? I said, brother, that doesn't make sense. Stop bull-essing me. That doesn't make sense. She said, no, I love your show. I love your show. I said, please, stop patronizing me.
Mm-hmm.
Please. It's insulting that you listen to another radio station. I said to her on more than one occasion, I just want to drop this. Right?
The best moment is when he said, quit patronizing me, and this is a quote, and I made a mental note of it. She says, I'm not patronizing you. If it seems to you I'm patronizing you, it's just me being stupid.
Oh, God. Oh, boy.
Explain that to me.
You know what? Would the advice really be, I think, once and for all, just to let it go?
Oh,
I mean, I told her that probably three times.
I'm here, and I'm telling you right now, on this national radio show.
I think I told her last night three times to just, you know, that's the best course of action.
Just drop it, brother. Just drop it. But you know me, I'm probably not going to forget that she listens to another radio station back there, but I won't, like, walk down the hall and give her the finger or anything.
Listen to it softly if you have to.
No, she shouldn't listen to it. At all.
Right.
And I'm surprised that I'm the only person at this radio station that feels that way.
Right.
It's like Alan was standing there, the sales manager with her, and he knows that she's digging herself in a giant hole. And he said, Bretta, why don't you just end this discussion? Let's have a nice part. She's like, no, I want to tell him that I listened to that station because they fired me. And I said, Bretta, that makes no sense. That's an idiotic defense to say that you listen to that station because I fired you. I said, explain to me why that is. She said, I know comedy. I like comedy. And at that point, I gave up. Right. And all I did was just look at her.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I didn't say another word at her.
And then it ended finally.
No,
it didn't.
She stood and stared for what seemed like about 60 days.
We were having, I just looked at her. At that point, I'm frustrated. I'm like, I'm tired of arguing with Bretta.
Mm-hmm.
So I just looked at her. And I thought, you know what? I'm not going to say anything. And she just kept looking at me. And it was like a big stare down.
Until
finally the sales manager, Alan, comes over and he says, listen, Bretta, come here. I want to talk to you for a minute. And he takes her by the arm. And as he's taking her by the arm, as he's pulling her away, she's still saying, but wait, I just want to, I listen to the other station because I hate them. please. Oh, it was, and I'm telling you, it was a scene.
I looked over and I couldn't hear anything, but I could see you and Bretta facing one another, very close to one another, and your head was kind of at that, you know, you get that, when your head goes, like, touches your right shoulder, I know there's confrontation involved.
I mean, it was a scene, people were standing around looking at this, I felt uncomfortable by this situation. And then, you know, then when she finally walked away, and I broke away from the group I was with, everybody that I went to talk to, that they all wanted to know, hey, what was going on with you and Brett?
Sure, yeah, because it was the scene of the evening. Right, you know, and that's all, you know, people don't want to go and have a social time and have a nice time. But if there's a scene, they're like, what's going? And then the feeding, then the piranhas begin to be, you know, start their dance.
I said, there's nothing. It's nothing. It's the same old thing all over again. And people would not stop. And at one point, I want to tell you something. I felt bad for Brett.
Right.
Later in the evening, when I was talking to a group of salespeople, and of course, they were discussing Bretta and everything that's going on.
Mm-hmm. And do you get the impression with that it's kind of lip service too, in a way too, that there maybe there's that, you know, bad blood between certain salespeople, but by and large, people are telling you what you want to hear.
Yeah, and also they love a feeding frenzy. They want to keep it going,
yeah,
right?
Of course.
So at one point, somebody who shall remain nameless, a member of our sales staff, was standing. I was facing her, and Bretta walked up behind her, and this person was saying as loud as she could. She said, I just don't understand how someone could take parking spots over and over again. How stupid could that person be? I mean, really, after the first time that you park in someone's spot, and now at this point, I'm going like this.
Yeah.
I'm giving her the, you know, right. Hey, I'm giving her the cutoff sign. Like,
enough,
listen,
enough.
Come on. Bretta is standing right behind you.
Right.
And this, again, is where I don't get Bretta, because if it's me, if I walked up on people saying bad stuff about me,
right,
I would either probably say something to them about it,
sure,
or I turn my back and walk away and pretend that I didn't hear it.
Right, exactly.
Bretta stood there for 5 minutes while this other person is just continuing.
It's just a feeding frenzy.
To rail against him.
Wow.
It was, I'm telling you something, this was the wackiest party.
It was weird.
I have ever been to.
A lot of negative energy, man. A lot of negative energy. We're all very successful here, and there's too much damn negative energy in this place.
Listen, there really is. I'll just say for the record, I've nothing against Bretta. I'm glad she sells the S out of our show.
Sure.
It is frustrating that she used to take my parking place.
Right.
I'm not going to give up the thing about her listening to another radio station.
Sure, you're proud of what you do, and so am I, and I think that's ridiculous. That's cranking. When we're going, you know, it kind of takes the wind out of our sails when we walk out of a studio and we hear that. It's a valid point, and the thing is, though, you know what I'm more upset about? I'm more upset, because, I mean, the Bretta thing with us, that's standard. That's almost, you know something, that's almost a floor show for people. They enjoy that.
Yeah.
What I'm tired of, really, is just getting a lot of the people telling us what we want to hear. You know, it gets a little old, and it's more so now than it ever has been. And I liked it a little better with, you know, it's the people that we've known for a long time.
It's because
they
people
come
are
up and give us crap, and I like that. I'd much rather get that than get, oh boy, hey, let me tell you, that person's, boy, you don't like them, so I hate them too. You know, come on.
People are uncomfortable with us around.
They are, and I felt it. And maybe we're uncomfortable with them now. But last night, one of the reasons that I think that party sucked so bad was that everybody was uncomfortable with everybody, and it shouldn't be that way.
Very fragmented.
Yeah.
And at one point, someone else mentioned something to me. You know, I'm certainly not the biggest flag waver for WJFK staff morale, okay?
Right.
And someone mentioned to me about, you remember when we had the receptionist at the front desk, one of those temps about maybe 6 months ago?
Yeah.
And she had her boyfriend here, and her boyfriend was in the lobby all day. At the front desk, they have a big plexiglass window.
Right.
And this guy, the boyfriend, was hanging through the front of the window talking to his girlfriend, who was the receptionist. Mm-hmm. So as you walked into the lobby of the radio station, for 3 hours, all you saw was this guy's ass hanging out of the other side of the window.
Right. I remember that.
Somebody mentioned to me, said, hey, I told them when I came in that day that you weren't going to like that.
Yeah, there's the perfect comment that we get here.
And that you better stop doing that, because when Don gets here about 1:30, he's going to be pissed. Now, and the same thing, what I wanted to say last night was, listen, doesn't anybody else here have any pride at all about the place that they work in?
I know.
You know, why am I such a bad guy for saying that the receptionist shouldn't have her boyfriend sticking his ass out in the lobby for 3 hours?
You're not.
And all of the people that work here, they're all too afraid to say anything, but they all pin it on me. Well, you better watch it. When he gets here, he's going to be pissed.
Because it's convenient.
Right.
It's easy.
That's right.
You understand the point here?
It's the easy way.
It's just kooky. And then today, you know, again, I'm not going to mention names, but I had 1, 2, 3, 4 separate salespeople come up to me today. Two of them I came up in the elevator with. Two of them I saw when I was checking the mail. Came up to me and said, "Ooh, can't wait for today's show."
Yeah.
Can't wait. Oh, you're going to be talking about Brett.
Yeah, you're been right on.
Can't wait for it.
That's so true.
Come on. Listen, all you people that said to me that you want me to say something about Brett, I double dare you to come in now and say that on the radio.
Right.
Because I'm not going to say your names, but you should have the balls to come in and say.
Yeah.
And one person in particular who works here, who said to me, I've been waiting 13 hours just for 3 o'clock today.
Yeah, really.
Somebody was watching my Bretta moment last night.
Part of a team.
Right.
Team.
So I'm calling you salespeople out now. Come in here, yeah. All you big talkers.
Maybe that's why. Maybe that's what it was all about last night. Just a little too much of the old negative energy floating around, you know?
I didn't go looking for a fight. I swear to God, I didn't.
I know you didn't. And believe me, and I'm going to defend you on that one. I was an eyewitness. I didn't hear any of the exchange. But I know you were sitting there. And when you go to these things, you know?
I just want
to
chill, man.
I mean, we both do. We chill out. We want to have a good time.
My wife was there. I wanted to have a good time with my wife. I wanted to talk. My wife said to me, she says, "What's going on with that sales girl?" I said, "What's going on? Did you see that?" She came up to me. Freddie said, "Well, why did she come up to you and start a fight?" I said, "I don't know, because she's dense. I don't know."
You know, and really, if you know, in fairness to her, if there was somebody around there that maybe would just, you know, direct her a little bit and say, "Hey, just chill out of it." But there's nobody's. Instead, everybody's sitting around and enjoying the negative energy and feeding off of that, making it obviously, for whatever reason, feeling better about themselves to see this person who's getting into the altercation. You know, Rob and I had a perfectly good sight gag that you missed because while all this was going on.
What, were you doing the thing with Broyhill?
No, this is when we were sitting, you know, that crazy little couch they had in the lobby. But Rob, how long did we sit? Was it 2 or 3 minutes that we sat on that thing? I think it was a full 5 minutes. I said, "He's going to look over here in a second." And Rob and I were sitting there, and I had rolled up my pants all the way above my legs.
Oh.
And was just sitting there on that stupid love seat they have in the lobby, doing a little sight gag. You know, but Rob and I are both the same way. At a certain point, the wind kind of leaves your sails, because it's just everything that was done that normally would have been funny, it just was blah, 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 blah. You know, I'm very disappointed. I'm just a little disappointed.
Tough party to go to.
It really
night,
was. Yeah. Maybe we'll have a good one somewhere down there. You know, the Christmas parties in years past have been certainly better than that ratings.
And I can only imagine the things that were said about me after I left.
Oh,
and
sure.
And listen, all you people that are on the station, I know it. Because I know how you were talking about everybody as soon as they would leave the group.
Yeah, it was just a...
I know it.
It was just a very... I don't know, I felt ill at ease. I felt uncomfortable. I don't like feeling
it was
that
weird, man.
And, you know, these are people that we get along with well in the hallways and stuff, and everything's fine here.
Right.
In the business environment, when we're doing that work, it just felt a little strange. Yeah. I don't know why. I'm not sure what the
reason. What did you think, Buzz? You're an impartial person on this.
I was disappointed that when we got there last night, a number of people had already been there and gone.
Right.
The food was mostly gone or cold. And as you said, I think, that, you know, to sum it up, there was just no festive atmosphere. There was no festive mood.
It was. It
over
was
the
just,
evening.
It was kind of blah.
Well, I got to give Stacy her props. Right. Stacy was very festive.
Yeah.
Stacy's, you know, always festive.
Let's give a round of applause
for
to Stacy.
Yeah.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hello, la la la, the Don and Mike Show.
Hello, la la la. Welcome back to the Don and Mike Show. Jordan Drew with you, giving you the best of Don and Mike, coast to coast via the Westwood One Radio Network. Well, that's about it, except we've got one more segment. Calls, Frank Gorshin, Detroit, Baltimore. Ooh, I wonder what it could be. I know it is the best of Don and Mike.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello there, you're on the air.
Baby.
Hey, baby.
I just thought I'd let you guys know that Robbie Knievel's coming to town.
Oh, he is? Where are you calling from?
Reno.
Reno, okay. And?
He's going to jump a big sign downtown, like an archway.
Oh, really? You mean that big sign that's in the middle of the road?
Yeah.
The Reno sign.
We've been to that biggest little city in the world.
Yeah.
Damn skippy.
He's going to
jump. So when are you guys coming?
He's going to jump over it?
Yeah.
Cool. Really? When?
They haven't announced it. He just agreed to it, but they haven't set a date. It was in the paper today.
I'll have to send somebody out to scream our names out, because you know that'll be on Fox TV.
Right. Absolutely.
For sure.
Absolutely.
So, are you guys coming?
I wonder if his leg is healed yet from where he broke it.
No, I don't think we're coming to Reno. Sorry about that.
You're kidding.
Nope, sorry.
Hey, but, you know, you don't need us if Robbie Knievel's coming out there.
I don't care about him. I want to see you guys.
All right, baby. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don. I saw in a soap opera magazine that your buddy Frank Gorshin is going to be making an appearance on Bold and the Beautiful Monday, July 26th.
Really, Frank Gorshin, our very good friend. You know, the Riddler from Batman.
Yeah, Mr. Yes. Dixie Riddle Cups.
Well, the veteran actor will be playing a homeless man named George who interacts with Taylor, who was a psychiatrist on The Bold and the Beautiful.
That's Frank Gorshin. Just what the hell's that supposed to mean?
You know, I'd say we should try to rebook him on the show to talk to him about that, but I think after our last conversation with him,
he's
never coming on the show again, is he?
Remember, you could ask him about his brass room.
Yeah, he had a brass room where he ate cake.
He ate cake and dessert.
Special Frank Gorshin room where he'd eat his cake and get ready for his role as the homeless man.
Wouldn't it be great if he did it like that, like the Riddler?
Oh, that's great. I just was picking through the trash can.
This is Bruce Wayne, the millionaire playboy.
Ah, Bruce. We'll work for food, Batman.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey there, Donna. Need your assistance, please.
Yes, sir.
I was looking for a free...
Oh, don't you get it? She's my wife's name.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. That's it. All right.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Johnny Wordplay.
Hello.
Hello,
you're on the air.
I am.
Yeah, hold on, I'll play our Frank Gorshin tape.
Hi, this is Frank Gorshin. I got to tell you, whenever I come to this town, the first thing I do is not listen to Don Geronimo and Michael Mira. I avoid it. Oh, I'm just kidding, but everybody doesn't like something, but nobody doesn't like John Geronimo and Michael Mira.
Boston cream pie tastes better in the brass room.
Old Phoebe. This is Bruce Wayne, millionaire philanthropist, of course, Bruce, and Batman and Adam West, and I never listen to Don Geronimo and Michael Mira.
Love Batman.
Mm-hmm.
He did not let down. He didn't mind being Batman, old Adam West.
You got to admit, a true American original. Nothing ever was like it before or has been since.
I just saw Adam West on some show like, what was it? Was it Just Shoot Me or some show like that? He played a lawyer. And he was in a courtroom scene.
Right.
And so feebed out now, Adam West. He's still, even when he's acting like he's an actor.
Sure.
He still has that inflection like when he was Batman.
And when you go back and look at the old episodes of Batman, you would have to think that on that set, somewhere, they had an open bar. Because, you know, you just couldn't get people acting like that. I mean, you know, everybody, it was just so completely whacked.
He has the Johnny Carson, Buddy Epson neck now.
Oh, does he really?
Yeah, he has the big turkey neck because he had a big ascot on and he took it off at one point. It was just, you know... And I don't buy all that stuff that when they were making the TV show Batman, that they knew that it was campy, mm-hmm. and that they knew that it was supposed to be funny and stuff.
You don't think so?
No, I think that they probably thought it was pretty serious.
I think they all, like, you know, had like a bottle of Johnny Walker and then went down and taped it.
No, I don't think so. I think at least Batman probably was really into it.
See, you're into it. I think that's why you believe that. I think you're more into it than the average guy. I think that's why.
I love Batman.
You'd be disappointed if it, you know, you found out 100% that they actually were just doing it as a goof.
Well, no, I read his book after we had him on the show, and he wrote a book about it.
Right.
He writes in the book that he knew it was a goof and everything, but...
No, look at that shark that was attached to him when he was flying in that helicopter.
Oh, that was in the Batman movie, Mike. Yeah. Big fake shark. He had to get in his bat repellent spray, his anti-shark spray.
Big, like, plastic shark. Kind of shark you find, like, in a gift shop in a dollar store at the beach.
All right. You know, we're on the station in Detroit,
mm-hmm.
and our position there, as we've mentioned... Less than shaky.
Yeah, a little tenuous.
Okay. I mean, it's super shaky.
Mm-hmm.
They sent some liners that they want us to cut because apparently we're going to be on this station at least a month, 6 weeks, something like that.
Right.
Okay. I don't want to start a bad relationship here.
Oh, no.
But I'd like to know
what do they want us to
what
do?
Mental patient wrote these.
Okay.
Okay. Hi, I'm Don.
And I'm Mike.
Mm-hmm. We're grabbing a quick Coney dog and a Coke, and we'll be right back. Thanks for listening to the Don and Mike Show on 97.1 Detroit's FM talk station.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Two guys, two brains, two points of view. All the makings of mass confusion. The Don and Mike Show, weekdays 3 to 6 on 97.1 Detroit's FM talk station.
Uh-oh.
Hi, I'm Don.
And I'm Mike.
Try smiling on your way home from work tomorrow.
No, wrong guys.
Turn us on weekdays 3 to 6 on 97.1, Detroit's FM talk station.
We're done. We're done there. If they get mad at stuff like this, and we heard they do.
It's some stupid program director, though, that wrote these. Our words are 100% true 95% of the time. Oh, hell, we're making it up as we go along. The Don and Mike Show, weekdays 3 to 6 on 97.1, Detroit's FM Talk Station.
You know, this is the whole problem, man.
Oh, no.
This is generally the problem with our industry.
Just let us do our thing, guys, please.
Mm. If you want us to do any liners for you, anything like that, we'd be glad to do them, and here's how they go. Hi, I'm Don.
I'm Mike.
And you're listening to Detroit's FM Talk Station, 97.1. That's pretty much all we do.
All you need. Okay. It'll be great. It'll be great. It'll work real well. Just throw the switch and it'll do well.
And if you want to throw in this stuff about, you know, try smiling on your way home from work, will you be the guys to say that?
Sure.
You know, don't make us say that.
Absolutely.
Okay?
That's it.
So you can send us a new page of liners. We'd be glad to do them, but we're not going to do this crap, okay?
Yeah. And you'd be amazed, you know, if you just send us the straight stuff. Mm-hmm. Occasionally, you know, we might say something unusual.
We're grabbing a quick Coney Dog and a Coke. Yeah, I'll be right back. Thanks for listening. Mike, please. You know, some program director who couldn't do a radio show himself, sitting in a room typing this, hey, this is wacky. I'll have these guys say this.
Oh, man, radio. So, crazy business.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So no thank you, please. But, you know, just send us a list of straight ones, and we'll be glad to do them.
Absolutely. We're very, very excited to be on in Detroit.
Be glad to bang them out. Even though, listen, our position is very shaky, and frankly, I've already heard that they've hired a couple of guys from New Jersey to do the afternoon show on the station permanently.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the best chance that we have of being on this station after we get done with the afternoon thing here is that maybe they'll pick us up for late night.
Oh.
You know, that's like the best chance we have.
Okay.
We're only doing this as a favor to, you know, to Big Daddy anyway.
Right, absolutely.
Right? Because Buddha called and said, listen, help us out. Help the company out. Be good company men.
Absolutely.
You know, loan your show to the station in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
We'd be glad to. We're glad to be on there. But we're not reading that garbage.
That's it. You know, you have to have standards. We don't have many.
Okay, now we have another message for another one of our radio stations. This would be for our station in Baltimore.
Baltimore!
1300 WJFK. Okay? Please, this message is not intended for the good people of Baltimore who have listened to this show and supported our show, given us fantastic Arbitron ratings.
Showed up at those fabulous Las Vegas-style shows.
Right. Mm-hmm. Thousands of people show up for our Vegas-style shows. We love that. This is just for the people that work at the radio station, WJFK.
Mm-hmm.
Shut up! Shut up! Shut up! Every time we do one of our Baltimore things, like, hey, that Cal Ripken, he's the best player in town.
Right.
Well, the people in management of that station, they call Ken and they complain because they say that we are ranking on Baltimore.
Oh, come on. Aww. The people that enjoy that, we've done the Las Vegas. Wait a minute. The people that have enjoyed that
I know this.
More than anybody else are the people of Baltimore, for
I know
God's
it.
Sake.
Listen, I know it.
God, they think they're, you know, they think that the listeners are so stupid and they're so wrong.
Listen, I know it.
Sorry.
You know it. All the people listening to the show know it. The only people that don't know this are the people in management at the station in Baltimore.
Unbelievable.
And you know, generally, as a rule, a lot of people in media in Baltimore, they have an inferiority complex to begin with.
Yeah, people in media in Baltimore.
You notice I said people in media in Baltimore.
Sure, but it's the people that... We go to Baltimore all the time to do our Las Vegas-style shows, and the people, you know, in Baltimore think it's fun.
People in Baltimore
do that same stuff when they're out at the bars.
It is funny. I had to get in a whole big discussion with Ken. You know, where I said to him, he said, what have you been saying about Baltimore? I said, well, we don't say anything about Baltimore.
We do that Baltimore accent, the best accent in town.
That's it, the best crabs in town. Cal,
right on. We're real happy about Cal starting the All-Star game. Uh-huh. Also, B.J. Surhoff.
You know, he said that, well, the people at JFK are very upset.
Oh, boy.
You know, that you're getting down on Baltimore. And furthermore, they wanted to preempt our show twice a week to run the doofy Brian Billick Coach of the Ravens show. So I had to veto that.
Oh, God.
Right.
Let us do our show.
Ken said, how would you feel about having your show preempted twice a week at 6 o'clock?
Oh, my God.
I said, how do you think I feel about that?
It's crap.
You know, the answer is no. Absolutely not. They're really behind you around here, aren't they?
Is that Stan the Fan guy still up there? Is he still there?
Yeah, he does late nights.
Yeah, he's part of that. He's the reason that's going on.
Hey, man, they're anti-Baltimore.
That's crap. That's
yeah, you
true.
Heard them when they talk about Cal? Why, that's anti-Baltimore, man.
Anti-Baltimore. How many times have we gone to Baltimore to do the Las Vegas-style
you know,
shows?
And that was exactly my point to Kent. I said, well, first off, if you don't want to look at the ratings.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right. Of which we do great up there.
Mm-hmm.
How about the fact that every time we go up there, we get thousands of people showing up. Ken said, listen, I know. It's not me. It's the people at JFK.
And people really, I mean, I'll give you an average scenario when we're going up to Baltimore to go to the bars to do those Las Vegas style shows, and people will say something like, hello, Don and Mike, welcome to Baltimore. People say that because it's funny.
Right.
That started with people
you
in Baltimore.
You have the best show in town. How about a Natty Boo?
Great show in town. Go down to Polak Johnny's. Have a big foot-long hot dog.
Oh, the O's. Oh, Angelo's. What are you doing with the O's?
Come on now.
And B.J. Sirhoff should be in the All-Star game.
I'm real happy about the Moose. He's going to be pitching in the All-Star game. He's as good as Cal and B.J. Sirhoff.
I'm so hungry, I'd like some Boogs barbecue and a Natty Bow.
Boy, you see that home run? He hit it almost as far as Utah Street. Come on.
See, the people that run the station right now, they're cringing.
Right? They're cringing. They not the people. And I guarantee you, not the people that listen to the show on Baltimore.
No, just like I said, the people that run the station.
Oh, unbelievable.
Right, please. You know, you think they'd be glad that we're even mentioning Baltimore, that we're fond of Baltimore, we're proud to be on in Baltimore.
Sure, absolutely. And that's another reason about that preempting thing. You don't want that to happen because, I mean, we think of that as really, you know, the whole entity of our Washington-Baltimore thing.
And furthermore, you know, we've been on that station over 5 years.
Right.
You would think that Dave or somebody in the programming department who we know could just call us up and say, hey, what's up? But no, they have to go through Ken. Jeez. You know, they have to call Ken up, and then Ken has to call me in to have a meeting with me.
You would think we're a million miles away. They could just pick up the phone, get on the phone, and talk to us and say, come on. Come on. What are you guys doing talking about Baltimore? Come on, do you have some kind of complex or something?
We're right down the BW Parkway.
That is so, so wrong. That is so, so very wrong. I'd like to say on behalf of the Don and Mike Show, that is really totally out of line, and you shouldn't have to call people like that.
let's take a call from Baltimore.
Very good.
Hello, Rob.
Hey, Don and Mike. Go get me a Polak Johnny's dog and a Natty Bow.
There you go, boy. Hello.
Look, you know, it took forever for them to get that retard out of our hair after your show and put on something entertaining. Why not just look at the ratings? You know, I want to hear Don and Mike. Listen. I don't want to hear why we lost again.
The whole thing about WJFK in Baltimore is the fact that basically it is a simulcast of the radio station in Washington.
Right.
And because the people that run the station have this Baltimore media, you know, inferiority complex, they feel that they have to have something on that is totally local.
Right.
Even though we've already proven that you don't have to live in Baltimore to have a number one rated show in Baltimore. That's, you know, that's the whole point with this whole goddamn show we do. We're 3,000 miles away from Sacramento, and we don't know anything about Sacramento. We don't know the streets. We don't know the mayor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're lucky to know the name of the basketball team. Yet, for some reason, we're number one in the ratings out there.
That's right. So leave us alone.
You know, it's the same argument like with the Letterman show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people watch the Letterman show or Jay Leno every night.
Right.
All over America. And they don't care if he's doing the show from L.A. or doing the show from New York.
Absolutely.
If you do a good show, the people will listen to it and they'll support it.
Right. Of course they do. And it's a great town. And people listen to our show, know that we think it's a great town, except for the time we got drinks thrown on us.
And the time we got thrown out of the Camden Yards.
Now, other than that, it's been a great town. Hey, we've had problems in Washington, too.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, you damn dummies.
Hey, I'm dumb.
Hey, update from you on Robbie Knievel. Jump.
Yeah.
Fox is going to be covering it. They're going to spend 2 hours of boring, monotonous, repetitive hype and then tell you the dew point's too high and cancel it. Make you watch it 15 days later.
Oh, man. That's 2 hours. It's way too much to do that.
I think they only had a 1 hour.
Yeah, I think it's 1 hour.
Pre-game for the last
one. I thought it was three. I was giving them the benefit of the doubt.
Feels like three.
Yeah, it just felt like it. Okay, thank you.
Bye.
All right. Bye. Hello, Don and Mike. Last call. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike. How's it going?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, little update on your buddy Frank Gorshin.
Yes.
He was on General Hospital Monday. He played a reverend at one of those little walk-in churches in Las Vegas.
My goal is to sleep with Linda Dano.
real goofy looking with a big pinky ring.
Hey, there you
and what
go.
Did we hear about his son? Didn't we hear something wacky about his son?
Yeah. The woman who saw the brass room was dating his son.
Right, that's it.
Thank you, my friend.
Have some
Thank
German
you.
Chocolate cake in my brass room. Sorry, we're out of time.
Till we meet again, December.
Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.